Heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up to big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, you'll remember that Joe Biden was elected on a couple of promises. One is that he would not be Donald Trump, which is a pretty easy promise to keep. All you have to do is not be Donald Trump. The other is that he would not be alive. And on one hand, he's kind of kept that promise because this president is not particularly sentient. But one of the big promises of him not being particularly alive was going to be that he was not radical and he was going to be a moderate. The problem for Joe Biden is that his entire administration is predicated. It sits atop the iceberg that is the Democratic Party. And that iceberg has been gradually drifting to the left. David Shore, who's a statistician and economist, he's of the left. He points out that basically all change in terms of policy, in terms of both parties, has come from the left since 2010. And people of the left have begun to acknowledge this. They've begun to acknowledge, yes, we're getting more radical. Now, what they say is our radicalism is justified and good, but there is no question that Joe Biden himself has moved to the left, and this administration, which promised to be a return to some semblance of normalcy, might be more normal in terms of Joe Biden not tweeting, but it is certainly less normal in terms of policy. Joe Biden, however, has stacked his administration with people who are radicals. His Democratic Party has decided to overthrow years, decades actually, of bipartisan agreement on key issues. So, for example, Nancy Pelosi has announced that the Democratic Party is going to ram through a revision of the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment has been an agreement between Democrats and Republicans that regardless of where you stand on abortion, federal tax dollars should not be used for individual abortions. Federal tax dollars, if you're going to spend them at Planned Parenthood, they're supposed to be used to cover Planned Parenthood's front office. Now, we all understand that there's a little bit of a legal lie going on here, that money is fungible. If you send Planned Parenthood money to cover its front office staff, then all the money they were going to use for their front office staff, they are now going to use for abortions. But at least the idea was that there was an agreement between Republicans and Democrats that abortion should not be federally funded. Democrats, however, have decided that abortion is an overt good. It is not that abortion ought to be safe, legal, and rare, as in the Clinton days, which at least allowed for the possibility of some crossover between left and right on abortion policy. Because after all, if the left acknowledges that abortion is a moral tragedy, then even if they want it to remain legal, they are not at least, quote unquote, pro-abortion. But the Democratic Party has now embraced on abortion the sort of shout your abortion idea. Be proud of your abortion. Abortion isn't merely a horrible thing that sometimes is necessary, as Democrats used to argue. Now, abortion is a point of pride. You can't actually usher yourself into the full flower of womanhood, another word that has no meaning, according to the Democrats, unless you have an abortion. Lena Dunham said this fairly openly a few years ago when she said she wishes she had had an abortion so that she could have really enjoyed the full freedoms of the law. Well, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, both of whom used to basically go along with the consensus view that federal taxpayer dollars should not be used for abortion, now they've reversed themselves. Joe Biden did it a couple of years ago. He had said that he was in favor of the Hyde Amendment. Then he reversed himself because he needed to move to the left. Now Nancy Pelosi is saying the same thing. Now, one of the great, I think, annoyances for many Catholics in the country watching Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi say this stuff is that very often they say this stuff in the name of Catholicism. And I'm going to go with the Pope and Jesus, not super huge on abortion. I don't have to be a Christianity expert to point out that abortion has been sort of a major issue for the Catholic Church since literally the entire Catholic Church. But here is Nancy Pelosi making the case that abortion is actually a positive good. Taxpayers should fund abortion. She starts off by talking about her Catholic faith, and then she's like, my Catholic faith. And she just kind of throws it out the window. Here we go.
As a devout Catholic and mother of 5 in 6 years, I feel that God blessed my husband and me with our beautiful family, 5 children, 6 years almost to the day. But that may not be what we should, it's not up to me to dictate that that's what other people should do. And it's an issue of fairness and justice for poor women in our country.
It's an issue of fairness and justice that poor women should be able to kill babies in the womb. Sure, my husband and I were blessed by God with these 5 or 6 kids, but if we've been poor and if we just want to kill one of them, well, who are we to judge? So the Democratic Party, in terms of policy, has moved in pretty radical directions here. And it's been true throughout the Biden administration. This is why they've embraced, quote unquote, equity as the core of all of the things they do, from NASA to commerce, from education to the Department of the Interior, from transportation to whatever is Joe Biden's policy prescription of the day. It's all equity. And equity, of course, is a code word for group social justice on the basis of race. And this has been embraced by the entire Obama administration. I say Obama, but it really is the Biden administration, which is the third part of the Obama administration. Here's Gina Raimondo, Biden's commerce secretary, yesterday saying that equity is at the core of her commerce strategy, which, again, I don't know why. It's not the Department of Equity. In fact, the Department of Equity would be unconstitutional because equity itself as a concept violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. But here is Gina Raimondo claiming that equity ought to be at the center of commerce.
Our number one investment priority is equity. And as our team decides which, this is a competitive grant process. By the way, I think that the fact of a competition will help communities to come together as a community and put their best ideas forward. In order to qualify to get the money, you have to prove to us that equity, you'll have an equity lens.
Okay, that's insane. So she's saying we have a competitive process, but the competitive process is not about best product, lowest price, which normally when you're negotiating on the behalf of taxpayers for grant money, that's usually the process. Now, the process is about, can you prove to us that you mirror our political priorities? Can you prove to us that you're committed to equity? And by equity, we mean you have a certain number of black people on your board and we have a certain number of gay people on your board. That's how we're going to make sure that equity is assured, right? This is very radical stuff from the federal government. And the federal government not only has no business doing this, it's pretty clearly violative of constitutional principles. First of all, it should be violative of constitutional principles to force taxpayers to pay for abortions. It's clearly violative of constitutional federal principles, as well as the Civil Rights Act of 1964, to suggest that the federal government can dole out money to particular businesses based on how many people of a particular melanin level are on their board. Right? I'm unaware of a time in American history where the people who are stumping in favor of racial discrimination are the good guys. But this is the Biden administration. And they have at the top this man approaching senility who is able to put sort of a friendly face on this sort of stuff. But the underlying policy is really, really radical. And many of the people who are staffing the administration are really radical. It's kind of amazing the kinds of people who have been staffed in this administration. I mean, we've seen the DOJ staffed by absolute radicals. And people who have written extraordinarily racially radical things, people who have been openly opposed to policing, now staffing up the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ. Now we have a nominee to lead the Bureau of Land Management, right, which is all about negotiating the needs of people like ranchers and farmers who have to use the land in order to produce, and the federal government's vast oversight of huge quantities of land. Like, people, I think, don't have any idea of how much control the Bureau of Land Management has over various swaths of states. They have oversight of 247.3 million acres. 247.3 million acres. And the amount of land they have control of in each state is utterly crazy. I mean, if you look at the map, basically it's the entirety of the state of Nevada. BLM has control, not Black Lives Matter, the Bureau of Land Management, has control over nearly all of Nevada. It has huge control over Arizona. It has big control over New Mexico. I mean, if you look at the map, it really is amazing. Like, once you get to the west of Nebraska, pretty much half the country is under the control of the Bureau of Land Management. Huge swaths of California, huge swaths of Idaho, huge swaths of Oregon, 2/3 of Wyoming. Right, so the Bureau of Land Management is a pretty important position. So running the Bureau of Land Management, you don't want somebody who's, for example, an environmental radical. Because if you have somebody who's an environmental radical and in charge of the Bureau of Land Management, presumably that person is going to crack down on the ability of farmers and ranchers to do what they want to do. You'll remember that it was exactly this sort of conflict that led to the standoff with the Bundy family in Nevada. You remember this? Well, now, who's Joe Biden nominating to be the head of the Bureau of Land Management? It's a woman named Tracy Stone. So who the hell is Tracy Stone? It turns out that Tracy Stone, when in the 1980s, she worked with essentially an eco-terrorist group. And what they used to do is spike trees. So spiking trees was something that radical environmentalists would do in areas that were about to be used for lumber. They would go in and they would nail nails. They would spike the trees. They would put spikes, metal spikes, into the trees in order to break the saws and presumably injure and harm the people who are attempting to cut down the trees, because the trees were more important than the people. According to the Washington Post, one spring day in 1989, Tracy Stone rented a typewriter from the University of Montana Library and began to retype a letter. The typewriter was to avoid using her personal computer. The letter was an anonymous warning to the U.S. Forest Service that someone had hammered hundreds of metal spikes into trees in an Idaho forest that was slated to be cut down for timber. An acquaintance in her circle of young environmentalists had asked her to send it. After fixing a few spelling mistakes and removing some profanity, Stone dropped it in the mail. It was a decision that has followed her, now Tracy Stone Manning, for more than 30 years, through her rise in Montana politics to become one of the country's most prominent environmentalists and public land experts. And now President Biden's nominee to lead the Bureau of Land Management. The letter led to law enforcement raids on student houses and a grand jury investigation. Her testimony in the subsequent trial would help send two people to federal prison. Now that Stone Manning's nomination is in the Senate, Republican opponents have seized on the... It's pouncing. Okay, so the fact that you have an environmental radical, so radical that she was working with people to spike trees, possibly kill loggers, her nomination is just another Republican seizing moment, Republican pouncing moment. Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming, who's on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, said Tracy Stone Manning collaborated with eco-terrorists. A Bureau of Land Management director during the Obama administration, Bob Abbey, also said he opposed her confirmation. Okay, again, this is an Obama administration official because of her involvement in the tree spiking incident and, quote, the fact that her initial silence put people at risk. Apparently, she did not cooperate with prosecutors in that case. However, Jeff Fairchild, who spent 2 months in federal prison for the tree spiking, said in a phone interview, quote, other than the mailing of the letter, Tracy knew nothing, was not involved. She was a bridge builder. She was a moderating voice in every discussion. She was always the one to say, hey, look, loggers have families too. Well, I mean, if that's the case, then why did she send a letter trying to explain to people that the trees had been spiked? By the way, here is what the actual letter says, okay, in case you were wondering. Again, she wrote this, she or at least transcribed it. Quote, to whom it may concern, this letter is being sent to notify you that the post office sale in Idaho has been spiked heavily. The reasoning for this action is that this piece of land is very special to the earth. It is home to the elk, deer, mountain lions, birds, and especially the trees. Like the Lorax, she speaks for the trees. The project required that 11 of us spend 9 days in god-awful weather conditions spiking trees. We unloaded a total of 500 pounds of spikes measuring 8 to 10 inches in length. The sails were marked so no workers would be injured, and so you a-holes know they are spiked. The majority of trees were spiked within the first 10 feet. Many, many others were spiked as high as 150 feet. I'd be more than willing to pay you a dollar for the sale, but you would have to find me first. And that could be your worst nightmare. Sincerely, George Hayduke. P.S. You bastards go in there anyway, and a lot of people could get hurt. Again, this is pretty wild stuff. And her history is, I think, pretty dispositive of the fact. I mean, this is not somebody who's just a radical in college, right? This is somebody who's actively working with an eco-terrorist group. But according to the Biden administration, this is a great nominee. And by the way, her actual vote has now emerged to the full Senate on a 10-10 vote, on a party line vote in this particular committee. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second first. If you've been listening to the show, you know how much I hate cancel culture. And here is the thing. Cancel culture very often uses your data, right? Somebody will hack your email. Somebody will grab what you've been doing online, and then they'll use it in order to target you. Well, here's the thing. You can protect your internet activity. Instead of letting big tech cancel your right to free speech, how about canceling their access to your private data? That's why I use ExpressVPN. Have you ever wondered how huge tech sites make money when they are actually free to use? Well, they track your searches, video history, everything that you click on, and then they sell your valuable data to third parties. When you use ExpressVPN, your device's IP address gets masked. This helps anonymize your online activity. It makes it much more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from cyber criminals and hackers as well. What I love most about ExpressVPN, it does all of these things with just one tap of a button. Couldn't be simpler to use. Just fire up the app on any of your devices, hit connect, and now you are protected. It's time to say no to censorship. Take back your online privacy at expressvpn.com/Ben. Visit my link. You'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free today. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Protect your data today. Alrighty, coming up, we'll talk about the Bureau of Land Management. There are so many government agencies that you don't know about who have the power to destroy your life. Bureau of Land Management is one. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you ever lose your balance or feel dizzy for no apparent reason? Do you hear ringing in your ears or have migraines? Well, you're not alone. 1 in 5 Americans will experience these symptoms, which could be signs you have a problem with your inner ear or vestibular system. Because these symptoms are invisible and hard to describe, they are often overlooked by doctors and dismissed by family and friends. We can help. Call the Vestibular Disorders Helpline at 800-837-8428. That's 800-837-8428. Or visit us online at liferebalanced.org. Sponsored by the Vestibular Disorders Association.
Daisy sheds like crazy. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our cat Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Biden administration has now nominated an eco-radical to head the Bureau of Land Management, and that should matter. The notion that the Biden administration is going to be elevating to high position as the head of the Bureau of Land Management, there are all these government agencies that honestly have so much unbelievable power that you've never heard of. Like, how many people, particularly in big cities, have ever heard of the Bureau of Land Management? Not many. But if you are a rancher, if you're a logger, if you're a farmer, if you're anybody who has to do anything with the land anywhere west of Nebraska, then not only have you heard of the Bureau of Land Management, they basically can wreck your life. And the person that the Biden administration wants to elevate to this position of unbelievable power is a person who used to spike trees on behalf of radical environmentalists, or at least defend those who were spiking trees. The atmosphere was so tense at the 1993 trial of these eco-terrorists in the conservative city of Spokane, Washington, where Stone Manning testified, defendants were given bulletproof vests to get to the courthouse. Stone Manning has long offered a simple defense for her decision to mail the anonymous letter on the sabotage in the Clearwater National Forest about 2 hours from campus. Because I wanted people to know the trees were spiked, she testified. I didn't want anybody getting hurt as a result of trees being spiked. The four-paragraph letter she mailed put it a lot more bluntly. Jake Krelick met Stone Manning in Washington in 1988, according to the Washington Post, before she moved to Missoula, when they were both interns at the National Wildlife Federation. A child of the Beltway who grew up in Silver Spring, Stone Manning had majored in radio, film, and TV as an undergrad at University of Maryland. But she was passionate about environmental issues, Krelick recalled, and once she enrolled in the University of Montana's Environmental Studies program, she became active alongside him in a local branch of Earth First. The group, had a reputation for extreme frontline environmental activism in opposition to logging, dam building, and other development that threatened wilderness habitat. Tactics included civil disobedience and vandalism. Activists chained themselves to heavy machinery, lay down before bulldozers, and cut power lines. Their slogan, no compromise in defense of Mother Earth. Mother Earth. Krelick's Earth First debut occurred in the winter of 1985 when he and others barged into the office of Yellowstone National Park Superintendent Bob Barbie carrying buffalo dung and a Don't Tread on Me flag to protest the expansion of a campground and RV park into grizzly bear habitat. He would get arrested several more times. Recalled Krelick, quote, Stone Manning was a spokesperson and someone who was obviously very articulate and knew how to work with media. Certainly she was philosophically aligned with what our goals were, which was to protect the last wilderness areas in the Northern Rockies. Okay, so Senator John Barrasso went after Tracy Stone Manning in his in her questioning the other day, and of course he is exactly right.
Tracy Stone Manning collaborated with eco-terrorists. She lied to this committee, and she continues to harbor extremist views most Americans find reprehensible. She is thoroughly disqualified from holding the important position of director of the Bureau of Land Management. In 1989, while a grad student in Montana, Tracy Stone Manning collaborated with eco-terrorists who had hammered hundreds of metal spikes into trees in a national forest.
By the way, she did lie to the Senate. According to John Barrasso, Ms. Stone Manning claimed she had, quote, never been arrested or charged, and to my knowledge, the target of such an investigation. That's not true. According to court documents and news reports, Stone Manning was investigated in a 1989 federal probe of the tree spiking conspiracy. She was subpoenaed to provide physical evidence, including hair samples. She admitted in 1990 she was an investigative target. Her experience, she said, was, quote, degrading. It changed my awareness of the power of government. Yes, this was happening to me and not someone in Panama. Stone Manning also claimed she later testified in a trial that resulted in the conviction of a responsible individual. That's part of the story, but the reality is she did not cooperate with investigators. A retired federal law enforcement agent, who is the lead investigator for the crime, wrote to the Senate saying she helped plan the spiking and was a target of the investigation and refused to do anything to help. Her intransigence set the probe back by years. Only after she was caught and offered immunity did she agree to testify against one of the spikers in 1993. And this is who Joe Biden believes would be an excellent pick to lead up the Bureau of Land Management. Because, again, it's a radical administration. Some of us warned about this before the election of Joe Biden, but some people did not listen. Meanwhile, the Democrats continue to ram forward their massive spending plans. So there are a couple of things that are on the table right now. There is the Senate bipartisan infrastructure plan, in which you have Senator Mitt Romney, Senator Rob Portman, who have signed on to this sort of thing. And the idea here is $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan. But the Biden administration has made extraordinarily clear their actual plans here. Anything that doesn't make it into the $1.2 trillion quote-unquote bipartisan plan gets squeezed on over into the $3.5 trillion budget plan. And it turns out that Bernie Sanders is in control of that process because he and his fellow radical senators and his fellow radicals in the House have decided they're going to hold up the giant Democrat-only infrastructure plan unless it grows even more. According to CNBC, the Republicans working to craft the $1.2 trillion proposal voted Wednesday against advancing it as they draft final legislation. For some odd reason, Chuck Schumer decided he was going to bring up the legislation for a vote before it had even been drafted. Despite the setback, the 22 Democratic and GOP senators drawing up the bill, so they hope to release and push ahead a bill in the coming days. According to CNBC, the vote leaves President Joe Biden's top legislative priority in flux. If the bipartisan deal to revamp transportation, broadband, and utilities falls apart, Democrats will have to consider whether to pair physical infrastructure plans with their separate $3.5 trillion package to address climate change, health care, and child care. Asked Wednesday during a CNN town hall, Biden said he thinks the Senate will vote Monday to advance the bipartisan framework he negotiated with the senators. And the question here is, how much do you trust Joe Manchin? Because, of course, this is going to come down to Joe Manchin. Why Republicans would work with Democrats if Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are just going to vote party line in order to advance the inflated bill along with the bipartisan bill, I don't know how Republicans would provide any level of cover for that. But here's the thing. Democrats have no doubt about this. They're just going to ram this forward regardless. Representative Catherine Clark, Democrat of Connecticut, she says, yeah, we're going to pass infrastructure pretty much no matter what.
They're going to pass because that is what the American people sent us here to do. They said to us in 2020, we want action. We want to be at the center of the priorities again. That's why Democrats won the White House, the House, and the Senate. It is not going to be easy. Our margins are slim. But what we have in abundance is a commitment to getting this done.
Alrighty, coming up, how radical is the Democratic economic policy? It's so radical, swing voters hate it, and even Joe Manchin's concerned about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best-tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, how radical is Democratic economic policy? Swing voters hate it, and even Joe Manchin's looking at it like, guys, what are you doing? Here was the senator from West Virginia yesterday saying, listen, there are a bunch of Democrats trying to hold up this giant budget bill because they want more. I don't know what they're talking about. Here's Joe Manchin yesterday.
How concerned are you about what your party's talking about, like climate change and what that means for your
industry? Well, the only thing, we have a difference. You know that. You've heard me talk on that. I'm an all-in policy. I'm all-in energy. We have to have everything. The United States of America has to be energy independent.
Well, what they're proposing, is that going to decimate your industry?
Well, what they're proposing, the timing of what they're proposing would make it almost impossible to achieve that.
Yeah, no, again, these policies are really radical, but Joe Biden wants his world-beating policy because he knows that by the end of 2022, he ain't going to be in control of the House anymore. The Republicans have a really, really good shot at taking back the House in 2022. And increasingly a good shot at retaining the Senate as well, or taking it back, rather. I think the Democrats are going to lose their seat in Georgia. There's a very close race in New Hampshire. It looks like Democrats are slated to lose that seat as well. There's a lot of talk about Wisconsin. Senator Ron Johnson, who has made some mistakes, but has overall been a pretty good senator from Wisconsin. He's been talking about how he might not want to run. There are a bunch of other Republicans in Wisconsin who are pretty popular, like Representative Mike Gallagher. He might run for the Senate in Wisconsin, in which case he could be looking at a full Republican Congress by the end of 2022. Which means that Joe Biden needs to get his world-beating plans through right now. Joe Biden also understands he is in all likelihood a single-term president because, frankly, the man is in decline. It is clear that he is in decline. He cannot hold it together. I mean, it is pretty incredible. The running gun battle with the teleprompter, it continues each and every day. He's just incoherent. He doesn't make any sense. And so what that means is if he wants to go down in history as a successful one-term president, he knows that the way the historians write the record books, the more you spend, the more the historians love you. It is just a fact. And it is unbelievable. It's an unbelievable fact, actually. If you look at how historians rank presidents in the 20th century, the way they tend to rank presidents in the 20th century is the more you spend, the better you were. Incredibly enough, if you look at how historians rank the presidents of the 1920s, the 1920s were an excellent decade for the United States. The 1920s were called the Roaring Twenties for a reason. Yet, Calvin Coolidge, Warren Harding, these were terrible presidents. FDR, who presided over the worst depression in American history with crappy economic policy pulled directly from his colon, he is considered like the best president of the 20th century. And the other transformative president is the guy who led us into Vietnam, led to the morass of the war on poverty, spending $22 trillion over the subsequent half century, and led to the societal breakdown of all possible coherence in the United States, LBJ. But historians love the guy. So Joe Biden knows this. And because Joe Biden knows this, he's like, okay, I'm going to spend up the wazoo, and I'm going to pretend that the consequences that attend to spending are not, in fact, a big deal. Now, here's the thing. Most Americans are not in on this. So MSNBC, they did a swing voter panel the other day. And remember, this is an MSNBC swing voter panel. So this is not a right-wing panel. The MSNBC swing voter panel was like, yeah, these spending plans are crazy. We don't need that. We're in the middle of an economic recovery that should be naturally occurring. And if it weren't for the media scaring the living hell out of everybody about the Delta variants, would it be even more naturally occurring? We'll get to the Delta variants in just one second. But the swing voters are looking at Joe Biden's spending plans like, this doesn't make any sense at all. What are you doing?
I want to give you some findings that really just get to the public's collective unease. Once you start getting to those numbers, we asked a question where we said, if there was that level of spending, what would concern you? And here's what we got. We got 74% would be concerned with runaway inflation, 78% that it would be higher taxes on them personally down the line, 69% lower growth, 69% a negative impact on my family's finances.
Okay, those are terrible stats for Joe Biden. Remember, that's a panel of swing voters. So what are the Democrats doing? They're pushing full forward ahead, all speed. So Janet Yellen, who's the Treasury Secretary, she's, by the way, now changed her tune. She cautioned on Thursday that prices could continue to rise for several more months. Okay, so remember, at the beginning of the year, they were saying it'll be mild inflation. Now the inflation is like 5%. The unemployment rate's actually spiked. They're actually going up. More people are claiming unemployment now than they were before, like as of like last month. And yet Joe Biden continues to push forward with his plans. It really is an amazing thing. Remember, Janet Yellen went from inflation is not a big deal and will go away very, very fast. It's transitory, to inflation might be around a little longer than you want to. Yeah, inflation's just a part of life now. She said during a closing bell interview on CNBC, quote, we will have several more months of rapid inflation. I'm not saying this is a one-month phenomenon. I think over the medium term, we'll see inflation decline back toward normal levels. But of course, we have to keep a careful eye on it. Well, the problem is once inflation starts to run out of control, you're going to get economic contraction. Because if inflation starts to run out of control and the Fed is already at 0% essentially, when they raise the rates, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to make lending harder. But it's going to make lending harder at a time when the prices are higher, which leads to a slowing of the economy. Once you start to superheat the economy, this is the problem with central banks taking control of economic policy. Once they're in control of economic policy and they've shot their wad, they've used all their ammo, there's nothing more they can do. If the economy just starts to stagnate, they really have no choice. This is how you end up with stagflation, 1970s style stagflation. Like right now, you can see that the unemployment statistics are beginning to actually climb, oddly enough. Now, there's no reason for that. We have 10 million open jobs. We have 10 million open jobs in the country right now and not enough people to fill them. People are just not even applying for the jobs. And yet, according to CNBC, the U.S. jobless claims showed a surprising gain. This is just a couple of days ago. Weekly jobless claims unexpectedly moved higher last week, despite hopes that the U.S. labor market is poised for a strong recovery heading into the fall. Initial filings for unemployment insurance totaled 419,000 for the week ending July 17th, well above the 350,000 Dow Jones estimate and more than the upwardly revised 368,000 from the previous period, the Labor Department reported on Thursday. Government bond yields edged lower. Wall Street pointed to a negative open. The jobless count was the highest weekly count since May 15th. Again, remember, we're supposed to be getting people back to work. Now, even Joe Biden is having to admit some truths here. So Biden admitted the other day that, unemployment benefits probably have kept people from working.
There's some evidence that maintaining the ability to continue to not have to pay your rent so you don't get thrown out and being able to provide for unemployment insurance has kept people from going back to work. There's not much distinction between not going back to work in a restaurant and not going back to work at a factory. So people are looking to change opportunities, change what they're doing.
Okay, but meanwhile, Joe Biden is also just lying about his own policy. So Joe Biden said at the CNN town hall, which, by the way, had the worst ratings of pretty much anything on cable TV because no one wants to watch a guy be asked questions about what his flavor of ice cream is, like what's his favorite flavor of ice cream. Here is Joe Biden being asked about his spending bills and inflation. Again, his own Treasury Secretary says we're going to look at many more months of rapid inflation. Here is Joe Biden being like, no, my spending bills are going to bring down inflation, which is real galaxy brain type stuff here.
Moody's today, when our Wall Street firm, not some liberal think tank, said if we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will, in fact, reduce inflation, because we're going to be providing good opportunities and jobs for people who, in fact, are going to be reinvesting that money back in all the things we're talking about, driving down prices, not raising prices.
No, Moody's did not say that, by the way. He's not even telling the truth there. What Moody's said is they think that inflation will be transitory and will eventually go away. But they did not say that inflation is going to be reduced by spending money. The definition of inflation is more money chasing fewer products. If you create the more money, you create the inflation. Everyone understands this. Everybody knows this, except apparently Joe Biden, who's just he has been for nearly his entire career, a very, very smooth liar. I remember when he debated Paul Ryan, he just would say things. In 2012 that were overtly untrue. I mean, clearly untrue. But he would say them with the weird Joker smile, the Cesar Romero, and everybody would go, oh, it must be true. Well, what he just said there makes no sense at all. Here is the President of the United States also oddly bragging about Delaware's corporate record. He's talking about how he knows how business operates because a lot of businesses incorporate in Delaware. You know why businesses incorporate in Delaware? I know, because I have businesses incorporated in Delaware. You know why businesses incorporate in Delaware? Because Delaware, for many businesses, does not have corporate tax. Also, Delaware has very predictable rules of the road. which is why people incorporate in Delaware in the first place. In fact, all the things that Joe Biden hates about Delaware are the things that make Delaware successful in terms of being an incorporation center for many businesses in the United States. Here's Joe Biden talking about Delaware, even though, again, he's had nothing to do with the formation of state law in Delaware that has made it a corporate haven.
We have more corporations registered in Delaware than all the rest of America combined. I represented for 36 years. I've never seen a time when we have the middle class growing that the wealthy didn't do very, very, very well.
Okay, I know that his new mode of communication, because the brain is not working all that fast, is just to repeat, words, over and over and over. Right? Inflation is going to be reduced. Okay. Dude, no matter how many times you say it, it just ain't true. I am amused, by the way, by some of the creative proposals that are now being put forward by folks on the left to tamp down inflation and fight the reality, which is that people are looking for other sources for investment value other than the United States dollar and bonds. One of the reasons, by the way, that Democrats are very skittish about Bitcoin, for example, is because Bitcoin is a repository of value that is not tied to the United States dollar. So they're very scared of Bitcoin. They're very scared of the idea that there could be, theoretically, a cryptocurrency that people could trade in without reference to the United States dollar, could debase the United States dollar as actually the reserve currency if it were allowed to run out of control, which is why governments are starting to crack down on it. But the solution that is now being proposed, which is a sort of Fed coin, why would I possibly invest in a Fed coin when they can just inflate the Fed coin? That's the same thing as investing in the dollar. Why would I do that? I'm not going to invest in anything that can be manipulated by the central bank. It's precisely for that reason that Bitcoin was created in the first place, that cryptocurrencies were created in the first place. There will be flight like you've never seen to crypto if the Democrats keep this sort of stuff up. It really is an amazing thing that the solution to failed government policy is always, what if we just manipulated the government policy more? In fact, if you don't like how we're manipulating the dollar right now, if you don't like how we're manipulating the level of money in the economy right now, wait until we offer the same thing to you, but digitally. Hell of a pitch there. Okay, in just a second, we'll get to the radical Democratic COVID policy, which continues to be utterly disconnected from reality. Get to that in just one moment first. Now, I'm a pretty busy dude. I got to host the show, raise my three kids, write books. There's a lot going on. That's why I recommend M-Drive. It's the everyday supplement for men driven to stay ahead in their life and career, want to be the best at what they do and not slow down while doing it. There's so many energy sucks that occur over the course of a given day. M-Drive can help you fight that. It gives you the energy to tackle your busy day and still be at your best when you go home at night. Invented by a world-class scientist who made it for himself to help fight back against aging, M-Drive is packed with clinically tested ingredients that help boost your energy and your strength. Get your M-Drive at mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code BEN. They have free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Energy, strength, and drive join the growing community of driven men who aren't ready to slow down just yet. Go to mdriveformen.com, promo code BEN. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive right now. mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off your first order with that promo code BEN. Again, they've got the free shipping. They've got the 60-day money-back guarantee. Give it a try. See if you like it. MDriveForMen.com. Get 20% off with promo code BEN. Alrighty, coming up, the Biden administration continues with radical masking policy. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you a homeowner and do you have a VA mortgage? Then think about a VA Streamline refinance from Guaranteed Rate. It's just for VA loans and it lowers your mortgage rate so you save money on mortgage payments. Maybe a lot of money. And it's so easy to qualify. You don't need pay stubs, a W-2 or bank statements. You don't need a home appraisal. And Guaranteed Rate will waive any lender's fees. That alone could save you almost $2,000. Mortgage interest rates are extremely low right now. So call today and you could lock in a great deal. Do you have a VA mortgage? Call 888-809-6007. 888-809-6007. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 2611. Not all borrowers will be approved. Restrictions apply. Guaranteed Rate Inc. has no affiliation with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, or any other government agency. Guaranteed Rate is proud to be a partner of the USO. Call 888-809-6007.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dynavite with every meal.
DinoVite.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dinovite from DinoVite.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democratic Party has decided this is a forever pandemic, and the White House is going to push masks, presumably, until the end of time. I mean, it truly is an amazing, amazing thing. Okay, so, here are your latest stats with regard to vaccinations and COVID. Because what you're hearing from the media is that COVID breakthroughs with regard to vaccination are happening all the time. And not only are they happening all the time, people are getting super sick or dying from COVID, even after they've been vaccinated. And all this does, it's amazing. The same media who are screaming at Republicans, why don't you get vaccinated, are putting out headlines routinely talking about how people who are vaccinated must wear masks because, God forbid, even if you're vaccinated, you might get the disease and you might die. Okay, now, the reality is, statistically speaking, you are extraordinarily unlikely to get seriously ill or die from COVID after you've been double-vaxxed. Once you've been double-vaxxed, you're in pretty good shape. Okay, I'm going to give you the stats right now. This is according to the New York Times. As of July 12th, more than 159 million people in the United States had been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Of those 159 million people, just 5,492 had breakthrough cases that resulted in serious illnesses, including 1,000 who died. That is less than 0.0007% of the vaccinated population. Meanwhile, 99% of deaths from COVID-19 are among the unvaccinated. Okay, so what that means is that vaccination is extraordinarily powerful. It has done really well. And masking ain't going to change the trajectory of this thing. Vaccination is going to change the trajectory of this thing. Because once you're vaccinated, you're pretty much done. I've been saying this for a long time. And if you're a kid, right now they're talking about masking kids up again, which is nuts. Okay, I'm sorry. It's crazy. I have small kids. They should not be masking. The reason they should not be masking is because, number one, they can't wear masks properly. Number two, wearing a mask for a small child is actually kind of damaging. It restricts their oxygen intake. Number three, they're dirty. They're gross. Have you seen a kid wear a mask? Kids are dirty and gross anyway. I have three of them. And now they've got a piece of cloth over their face they're spitting into all day. Okay, you're talking about, for kids, a disease that is not extremely dangerous. You're talking about a disease that has killed 340 kids nationwide under the age of 18. That is a cohort of 75 million people. And with a much wider diagnosis of COVID than you get in a typical flu season. So when people say, well, yeah, fewer people die of the flu each year if they're kids than die of COVID, that's because fewer people get the flu and get COVID, because COVID's much more transmissible than the traditional influenza that people have in the winter, for example. Okay, bottom line is, the real reason they're telling kids to mask up is to protect adults. Okay, here's the thing. If you're an adult and you didn't get the vaccine, my kid should not have to mask because you didn't get the vaccine. That's your decision. You're free to make it. And by the way, I have lots of friends. I know lots of people who have not gotten the vaccine. Their reasons range from the spurious to the somewhat understandable, right? Some of them are like, well, you know, the vaccine is going to kill. No, it's in all likelihood not going to kill you. Okay. Also, and when I say in all likelihood, I mean vanishingly small numbers of people. Is there evidence that the vaccines have killed them? Okay. Not a million people. Very few people. Okay. And then there are people who say something else, which is, I'm young. I'm healthy. COVID is not likely to kill me. The vaccines are not likely to kill me. The vaccines don't even have full FDA authorization at this point. There's still emergency use authorization. I'm 21. I've weighed the balances, and I think that the risks of taking the vaccine long term maybe outweigh the risks of me even getting COVID. All right, if that's your decision, that's your decision. But the point is, my kids should not have to mask for your decision, because that's really dumb. That's really, really dumb. It doesn't matter. We're still seeing the Biden administration pushing forward with new masking policies. Okay, so for example, you have CNN's Dr. Liana Wen, and she is saying the mask mandates will have to come. Here is Dr. Liana Wen saying this on CNN.
The CDC in the first place made the right decision when it comes to the science, but they didn't take into account human behavior. And I think there's one thing the Biden administration can be doing right now that would change the equation when it comes to incentives, and that's to use proof of vaccination. If they could say, get the vaccine, you have a proof of vaccination, you can take off your mask, that would be really key. And I also think that vaccine mandates are something that will have to come.
So she says we have to have vaccine mandates and that we need proof of vaccination. Or alternatively, if you have the vaccine, you're a responsible adult. And if you didn't have the vaccine, you can do what you want. And it's not our job to save you. Right? It's not our job to construct all of society so that we can make an excuse for the decision you made. And most people, by the way, who don't get the vaccine are perfectly willing to live with that decision. It's really, by the way, amusing to watch the left shift on this. So the left has gone fully to, if you don't get the vaccine, I mean, I've heard this from many people on the left, people with whom I'm friends. If you don't get the vaccine and then you get sick from COVID, we shouldn't have to pay your bills. And I think to myself, all right, that's fair enough. How about that for the entire health system? Glad to see you here on the libertarian side, gang. It is amazing to watch the Biden administration shifting back toward all of the masking policy. Again, they've made it political. The notion that the right wing has made it political is just crazy. Ron DeSantis has been as pro-vaccine as any governor in America. Right now, I'm looking at the vaccination rates in Florida. The vaccination rates in Florida, if you're 85 years old or older, 76% of that population has gotten one dose. 63% of that population has been fully vaccinated. If you're 75 to 84, 84% of that population has gotten at least one dose. The fully vaccinated constitute 72% of the population. If you're 65 to 74, 89% of that population has gotten one dose. 77% of that population is fully vaccinated. And then it starts to decrease by age. So that by the time you get to, say, 25 to 34, only about 36% of that population has gotten a dose. Why? Because people are making decisions based on their age. In fact, the risk of COVID by age is, if everyone were unvaccinated, looks very much like the chart of vaccination, because people respond to the incentive that COVID itself provides. Here is Ron DeSantis saying Florida is not going to require kids to mask because there is no rationale for this.
There's been talk about potentially people advocating at the federal level imposing compulsory masks on kids. We're not doing that in Florida, okay? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we got to start putting our kids first. We got to look out for their education. Is it really comfortable? Is it really healthy for them to be muzzled and have their breathing obstructed all day long in school? I don't think it is. And I look to think, yeah, I have a 3-year-old son. You got people like Fauci saying he should be muzzled, that you should be throwing masks on these 3-year-old kids. It's totally unacceptable.
He is exactly correct about this, but this drove the White House and Jen Psaki to say DeSantis is putting kids at risk.
If I were a parent in Florida, that would be greatly concerning to me because kids under the age of 12 are not vaccinated. They're not eligible yet. As the president said last night, obviously it's going to be led by the FDA, but certainly we hope that will be soon. But that puts kids at risk. It's not aligned with public health guidelines. We know masks are not the most comfortable thing. I will say my kids are quite adjusted to them, as I know many kids are. So certainly we would have concern about any step that doesn't abide by public health guidelines, and we think it puts people at greater risk.
Maddening and insane. Maddening and insane. Puts people at greater risk? Who? The kids? The kids have been getting this throughout the pandemic, and the kids are okay. Okay, by and large, kids are okay, much more okay with this than they are, by the way, from pneumonia. But in the end, here's the thing about the radicalism of the Democratic public policy. It's all justified because Republicans are bad. Here was Joe Biden yesterday being asked a tough question and then saying, well, you know what, it doesn't matter because after all, Republicans think we're going to suck the blood out of children.
Are there people who, in the Democratic Party, who want to run for president?
Are there people in the Republican Party who think we're sucking the blood out of kids?
I'm not sure. Are there people in the Democratic Party who want
to... Mr. President!
In other words, they can be as radical as they want to be because Republicans are bad and all Republicans are QAnon and everyone in the Republican Party is crazy, so we never have to tackle our own radicalism. Okay, guys, you're going to pay the price for this in 2022. Go for it. Seriously, embrace the suck because it's coming and it's coming for you. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Most Americans who've not been vaccinated are not likely to get the shots at all.
The poll by the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research found 45% of the unvaccinated adults surveyed say they definitely will not get a shot, and 35% say they probably won't. Just 3% say they definitely will get the vaccine, and another 16% say they probably will. Those not likely to get a shot express doubts the vaccines will work against the aggressive Delta variant, despite evidence they do. Nationally, the CDC says 56.4% of all Americans, including children, have received at least one dose of a vaccine, and vaccinations are starting to increase in some lagging states where COVID-19 cases are rising. I'm Ben Thomas.
Well, the government is buying 200 million additional doses of the Pfizer vaccine to prepare for possible boosters, as well as vaccinations for youngsters under the age of 12. Also at townhall.com, wildfire is still causing problems in the western United States. In Alpine County, California, Fire Incident Command Information Officer Mike DeVries says the continued hot, dry conditions make it very challenging.
Fuels are at record or near record levels of dryness. The lack of moisture means everything is ready. Everything is explosive.
Firefighters have officially ended their search for bodies in the debris of the collapsed condo building in Florida. Decision concludes a month of very difficult and dangerous work. 97 people were killed. Tokyo Olympics have officially opened. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach says the Olympics are again showing the, quote, unifying power of sport. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Small business owners sometimes go broke. My first business startup in the 80s was a fledgling startup story. Credit cards were maxed, car had bald tires, house had broken windows, and my employees got paid before I did. But my diet of hot dogs and mac and cheese was to die for. Hi, I'm Mike Kappel, founder and CEO of Patriot Software. My business startup was messy. Actually, I was broke. My wife and I lived on fumes for 4 years. To escape our financial reality, we played board games and dreamt of someday owning our own Boardwalk and Park Place. That's why I created my fifth successful company, Patriot Software, to help small business owners do their payroll without going broke. And if you need help, we will help you for free. Go to PatriotSoftware.com and enter promo code RADIO, and I'll give you 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
Well, that semiconductor shortage may be with us for a while. Correspondent Ken Lorman explains.
Intel CEO warns that the global semiconductor shortage could potentially drag on into 2022 and might not end until 2023. The U.S. auto industry has been especially hard hit by shortages of microchips, but production of iPhones, laptops, and other consumer gadgets has also been impacted. Intel is expanding factory operations to ramp up more chips. Ken Lorman reporting.
Typhoon Infa bringing heavy rains to Taiwan and coastal China. Forecasters say the brunt of that storm likely Sunday or early Monday. And in India, landslides have triggered by monsoon rains, killing at least 32 people, leading to the rescue of more than 1,000 others. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. A California city trying to decide what to do about a famed ocean liner Keith Peters has more.
The city of Long Beach has had the Queen Mary in its harbor since 1967 as a floating hotel. But the ocean liner is in dire need of repairs, with some experts saying she's in danger of sinking. The city took over the aging ship after its previous owners declared bankruptcy. Options include repairing and preserving her at a cost of some $25 to $50 million, plus another $5 million per year for maintenance. A pricier option is to put the Queen Mary in dry dock, with repairs estimated to be around $500 million. A third option is to take her out and sink her. Keith Peters reporting.
Wall Street numbers Friday. Dow Industrials up 238 points, closing above the 35,000 mark for the first time. The NASDAQ gained 152 for the day. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is RZ from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up to big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, the big culture war moment of the day is that the Cleveland Indians, you know, like the baseball team, they have now renamed themselves the Cleveland Guardians for no reason. In the same way that the Washington Redskins renamed themselves the Washington Football Team for no reason. In 2016, for example, the Washington Post actually did a poll of Native Americans about the Washington Redskins, in which 90% of respondents said they were not offended by the team's name. So, how many Native Americans were deeply offended by the name Cleveland Indians? Honestly, like, I've always found this completely bizarre. If somebody wanted to create a team called the New York Jews, that would be amazing. Like, the New York Maccabees or the New York Jews, I'd be like, I'd buy all the gear, right? Like, let's say it was a football team. Be like the New York Jews beat the New Orleans Saints? Sounds incredible. Like, I'm wondering, where is the downside here? By the way, you know what the Cleveland Indians were originally named after? Supposedly, or allegedly, the Cleveland Indians were originally named after a guy named Luis Sacalexis, who was of the Penobscot tribe of Maine, an actual Native American. He played for the Cleveland Spiders at the time, from 1897 to 1899. And he was so popular that they kind of changed the nickname of the team to the Indians. And then they were the Spiders for a while. And then they changed their name to the Indians, apparently because both they wanted to mimic the Boston Braves, and also because there had been sort of this upswing in interest in Sacalexis, who played for a couple of years for the Cleveland Spiders. So honestly, like, of the problems that afflict Native Americans and American society, the name Cleveland Indians does not rank. And by the way, the Atlanta Braves will be forced to change their name until the Kansas City Chiefs and everybody else. Everybody will be named after an animal until such time as we realize that this is being mean to various species. And we stop that. And then we'll just name people after colors, right? It'll be like the Cincinnati Reds, and we'll have like the St. Louis Blues, but all the teams will just pick a color. So the unlucky team, it'll be like the Cleveland Fuchsia. It'll be like the St. Louis Mauve. It'll be very exciting stuff. Fixing America's problems, one team name change at a time. They got Tom Hanks to do the voiceover, which means, of course, it's all American. They're called the Cleveland Guardians. Yeah, not fantastic. The Cleveland Indians, by the way, their logo, basically all they did is they just substituted gar for in Guardians, right? Indians, Guardians. Made it, I guess, cheaper for them to print their merch. So here's a little bit of what Tom Hanks was voicing over for the Cleveland Guardians Terrible name.
We hold tight to our roots and set our sights on tomorrow. And this is our team that has stood with our city for more than a century, from Old Municipal to the corner of Carnegie. A team that has seen its own progress and prosperity. Its history flows like the river through the heart of this city. A history that has given us miraculous moments. Moments that spanned years and others 22 games. Moments that broke barriers and moments that broke hearts. Moments that prove this is more than a game. We remember those moments as we move forward with change. You see, it has always been Cleveland that's the best part of our name. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest, to come together and welcome all who want to join us. We are loyal and proud and resilient. We protect what we've earned and always defend it. Together we stand with all who understand what it means to be born and built from the land. Because this is the city we love and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
Oh, God. Okay, it's so weak. It's so weak. It's so weak. I'm sorry. There are 1,000 better team names than the Guardians. The Guardians. The Prison Guardians. Like, what are the words that pop to your mind when you hear Guardians? Like, the only good one is Batman. Like, Silent Guardian. Or Silent Protector, whatever it is. Cleveland Guardians. And again, all they're doing is they're trying to look for the homonymic relationship between Indians and Guardians there to try and get them through this. But yeah, the Cleveland Guardians. I love when he's like, the history of the Cleveland Indians team is incredibly important to the city. So important that this team name will now be changed. By the way, the club, the Cleveland Indians, has a lot to be proud of. They were the first American League club to integrate. So Jackie Robinson was the first baseball player to integrate the major leagues, but the first American League team to integrate was the Cleveland Indians with Larry Doby and Satchel Paige. So that's like a cool legacy, is it not? Has there ever been an implication that the Cleveland Indians name was chosen to mock Indians? As in Native Americans? No, but once again, it's all performative virtue signaling, and then when you notice that there's an attempt to paint everything as historically racist and necessarily changing. When you paint it that way and then people say, well, you know, that's kind of weird and unnecessary. You're like, why are you even noticing? Why do you even care? I care because you cared enough to change it. In the same way that I cared when you changed the name of the Washington Redskins. Because if you cared enough to change it, I care enough to wonder why. How about that? All right, well, another day, another stupid cultural headline. We'll get to more in just one second with regard to American foreign policy. So we are just going to allow Afghanistan to collapse for no apparent reason. I mean, really, like no reason at all. We're going to get to that in just one moment. First, let us talk about the fact that you need to protect your family and your home. This is why Ring devices are excellent. There are 1,000 reasons why protecting my home matters to me. The three biggest are 7, 5, and 1.5. I need to make sure I know what is going on my property at all times for them. And that is why I love Ring.com. Ring has a special offer right now. Go to ring.com/Ben. It's the perfect way to start your Ring experience. With Ring's home security system, when anyone stops by or you sense something going on outdoors around the house, you know Ring has every corner of your home covered. One of the best benefits, you install the products yourself. Process is super hassle-free. Your whole home is protected with easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams. And get this, the cams work seamlessly with Ring Alarm. You see what's happening from anywhere, all in one very simple app. It's never been more important to have a reliable home security system. I'm pleased my family and I can keep an eye on our home no matter where we are, right from our phone. My wife loves the Ring devices. She definitely wants to keep an eye on what's going on. So do I. Protect your home anytime from anywhere with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben for a special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build the system that's right for your home, have it up and running in just minutes. That is ring.com/Ben. Once more, ring.com/Ben. All right, meanwhile, the situation in Afghanistan is getting worse and worse. According to David Ignatius, writing for the Washington Post, President Biden has a few precious weeks to bolster his plan for withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan so that the country doesn't degenerate into an even more chaotic and dangerous mess. The impact of the U.S. departure is proving more swift and shattering than even the pessimists predicted. I don't know, I was pretty pessimistic. I thought that this sucker was going to go super fast. Biden must have hoped to be winning applause this summer for finally bringing home the troops from the United States' longest and perhaps most frustrating war. Again, it is not the United States' longest war. If by war you mean like an actual fighting war, we've lost one troop in combat in the last 18 months in Afghanistan. It is more dangerous to be a cop in New York than it is to be a combat soldier in Afghanistan at this point, because we have already moved the burden of fighting over to the government forces, largely. The only point is that we were going to keep our air bases there so that we could help strike terrorists if we needed to. We had 3,500 troops, skeleton force in Afghanistan that was at least holding the major cities. No longer. Now we're pulling out so Joe Biden could get, what, some sort of cheap political win? Instead, he's not even going to get the win, as some of us predicted. He's facing mounting anxiety, both within his administration and abroad, about the rapid demise of the Kabul government and the danger of an armed takeover by the Taliban. A bloody collapse in Kabul, says David Ignatius, would be a self-inflicted wound for Biden, the first serious mistake of his presidency. Well, that's no. He decided, against military advice, to withdraw the small U.S. commitment of 2,500 troops who remained when he took office. Having chosen this course, he should have planned far better for the transition and framed a clearer strategy for avoiding a Taliban takeover. The White House is recognizing the painful reality that Biden will own the Afghan endgame, whatever it is. It was Biden who rejected the advice of many of his senior military and national security advisors, decided to pull the plug quickly and decisively. This is a disaster in slow motion, argues Saad Mohseni, the head of the Mobi Group, the largest media organization in Afghanistan. By the way, it's not just that. It's that we can't put American contractors in Afghanistan anymore to do a lot of the dirty work that the troops were no longer doing. Biden's options for stabilizing Afghanistan are now severely limited. U.S. combat troops are gone. Once the military was given the order to retreat, it didn't waste any time, but Biden still has some leverage. Here are some Biden's steps that Biden could take, according to David Ignatius. Appoint a special U.S. military envoy to visit Kabul immediately and recommend measures to assist the Afghan military and provide continuing U.S. support. But again, I'm not sure what kind of support this would provide. Demand that Afghan President Ashraf Ghani create a leadership council that includes all major forces across the country that oppose the Taliban. Yeah, again, we can insist on any of this. Once we pull out, doesn't matter. And you know who knows this? The Chinese. You know who knows this? The Russians. Again, there is no vacuum in international politics. Meanwhile, it is the Biden administration that has decided it's a great idea to simply kowtow to the Russians. Remember that time when Joe Biden was a hard fighter against the Russian regime and it was Donald Trump who was the cat's paw? Well, weird that the Biden regime has been significantly more conciliatory toward the Russian than Trump ever was. According to Josh Hammer, writing for Town Hall, for years, Democrats in their cable news echo chamber conjured up and broadly disseminated the most lurid and patently ludicrous rumors about former President Trump being a corrupted and compromised agent of Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin. Democratic talking heads ultimately tried in vain to distance themselves from this sordid overt, most far-fetched talking points, like the P-video compromat from the discredited Steele dossier. The irony is that Trump, on actual substantive merits, took a very hawkish line on the Russian Federation. He shored up missile defense in Central and Eastern Europe, which the Obama administration had undermined as part of its ill-fated Russian reset. He repeatedly stood strongly with America's ex-Iron Curtain allies, delivering a powerful Reagan-esque 2017 foreign policy speech in Warsaw aimed squarely at Moscow. He withdrew the U.S. from certain bilateral and multilateral accords like the INF Treaty, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, that buttressed Russia due to the simple fact that it did not comply and America did. Trump also opposed and issued strong sanctions to try to prevent the construction of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, a nearly completed but stalled 764-mile natural gas pipeline connecting Russia with Germany via the Baltic. Nord Stream 2 was and is an indispensable tool by which Putin and Russia can deploy energy and economic leverage over the European continent, permitting the Kremlin to crowd out ascendant American natural gas exports and dangle energy sufficiency as a sword of Damocles hovering above vulnerable European heads. On Wednesday, a week after Chancellor Angela Merkel left Washington, D.C., the U.S. and Germany issued a joint statement signing off on the completion of Nord Stream 2. There's no rationale for this. Putin is thrilled. But America's allies, like Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic, Slovakia, are undoubtedly livid at what they rightly view as a destructive and self-defeating kowtow in Moscow and Berlin. Josh Hammer writes, I interviewed Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki in Warsaw for Newsweek in May, and there was perhaps no issue on which he was more passionate than he was on the correctness of Trump's unwavering anti-Nord Stream 2 stance and the wrongness of Biden's gratuitous flip-flop. This also hurts U.S. natural gas exporters, which you've already done with the Keystone XL pipeline rejection, of course. The biggest reason that Biden did this is to appease the Germans. Berlin is the crown jewel of the EU, and as long as the Germans are kowtowing to the Russians, we got a problem with the EU. But again, for Biden, none of this is about strengthening America internationally. It's hard to see how any of this strengthens America internationally. I thought this was the guy who was going to stand up to Russia and China. I thought this was the guy who was going to strengthen America on the world stage. It turns out all he's doing is the same stuff that Biden did. He's leading from behind while saying more pretty words than Obama did during the Obama administration. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be talking about the U.S. women's national soccer team. They lost it the other day. Frankly, they deserve it. We'll get to that in just 1 second first. I'm a busy dude writing books, hosting the show, raising 3 kids, got a lot going on. That's why I recommend M-Drive, the everyday supplement for men driven to stay ahead in life and career who want to be the best at what they do and not slow down while doing it. M-Drive gives you the energy to tackle your busy days and still be at your best when you go home at night. Invented by a world-class scientist who made it for himself to fight back against aging, M-Drive is packed with clinically tested ingredients that help boost your energy and strength. Get your M-Drive at mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code Ben. They have free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Energy, strength, drive. Join the growing community of driven men who aren't ready to slow down just yet. Go to mdriveformen.com, promo code Ben. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. And if your energy seems like it's on the decline because, frankly, you got a lot going on in life, maybe you need that sort of energy boost, head on over to mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code Ben. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, so you got nothing to lose. Increase that energy level, mdriveformen.com. 20% off your first order when you use promo code Ben. Alrighty, coming up, the U.S. women's national soccer team has spent the last several years complaining about the brutalities of America. Well, now they lost to Sweden, and frankly, they deserve it. They deserve it. I will explain why they deserve it in just a moment. We are such a country of fake victims. It is utterly maddening. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Hey, this is Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers. At times, life can feel scary, and we can get overwhelmed by anxiety. Mindfulness can help you get through these tough times. My nonprofit is partnering with Headspace to offer free content to help you stress less. It's as easy to do as this. Take a big, deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. In and out. Head to kevinlovefund.org/headspace and be kind to your mind.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
She's a purebred, orange and white, Brittany. But when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out. DINOVITE.com. So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition.
You get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
A Dynavite. She's Little Miss Hollywood. DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, U.S. women's national soccer team, the other day, they took a knee before their game with Sweden. In fact, the Swedish team also took a knee, all to protest racism. The rolling R just gets longer and longer these days because there is so much racism. So they took a knee, as they always do before their games, because America sucks. But don't worry, America sucks, and they're representing America. So I just have a general objection to the idea that you kneel for the national anthem and that you kneel before your games to protest how much your country blows, and then you represent your country. Nope. Nope. Just as if you were a member of the New York Yankees, and then before every Yankees game, you stood up and you were like, Yankees suck! I think everybody would be justified in hoping that you were traded. I think the U.S. women's national soccer team, making the statement that America is horrible and systemically racist and terrible when they become rich and famous for playing a sport that literally no one watches outside of the World Cup. They've tried several times to create a sustainable women's soccer league in the United States. It has never been particularly sustainable. It has survived on subsidies. That is pretty much all. The average attendance of these games is basically the immediate family. Okay, so the U.S. women's national soccer team, these women who have become rich and famous by playing a sport that originally was basically established by Title IX, they spend their days kneeling for the laws and for the money, and then they lost. So the other day they lost to Sweden. Just before their 90-minute contest on Wednesday morning, the British women's soccer team knelt alongside their Chilean opponents. So this has now become like a worldwide thing. All of the teams are kneeling. Great. I mean, can't you feel the world getting better? The world's getting better because we all kneel about how racist we are. It's pretty great. Okay, but the U.S. women's soccer team then lost. They proceeded to lose 3-0 to the Swedes. When it came to match action, the top-ranked team in the world, the USA, suffered a surprising 3-0 defeat to the fifth-ranked Swedish team. That was their first loss since January 2019, breaking a 44-game unbeaten streak. The decision to kneel was motivated, according to Yahoo News, as a protest against racism and other forms of discrimination. It lasted about 10 seconds before an empty Tokyo stadium. So this is all very exciting stuff. I gotta say, I'm rooting pretty hard against the U.S. women's national soccer team because I don't think they are patriotic. Okay, just because they wear the flag does not make them patriotic. So what you get from the left is, oh, so you want the U.S. to lose? No, I want the U.S. to win by having people who are unpatriotic lose. How about that? I think if you spend your day like Megan Rapinoe making millions of dollars by claiming that you're a victim of American society and you kneel for the national anthem and you think the American flag stands for racism and bigotry and homophobia, and then somebody is stupid enough to give you an American jersey to wear, I think me rooting against you is not rooting against the American flag. I think it's me rooting against the person who roots against the American flag. It really is that simple. In fact, I think that there should be a widespread acknowledgement by the U.S. Olympic Committee that people who protest the American flag should not represent the American flag. If you don't like the American flag, I'm not sure why you should be wearing it. Again, I go back to the Yankees example. If you hate the Yankees and you think the Yankees suck, and you're going to protest the Yankees before every game, I don't think the Yankees should sign you. I think it's an absurdity. So the more the U.S. women's national, I guess they knelt before the game and then they just kept kneeling during the game. So again, I'm not going to make any bones about this. I hope the U.S. women's national team doesn't win a game. I think they've done more damage to the public comedy in the United States than virtually any other sports team in America. I think that they have spent pretty much all day, every day, complaining about how America is a terrible, horrible place, based, by the way, on their own decision-making. Recall they have this whole equal pay routine. First of all, the Men's World Cup is not the same as the Women's World Cup. The Men's World Cup is a multiple of the size of the Women's World Cup. Second, you guys voluntarily signed a contract whereby you didn't get a percentage, you got a flat fee. That's your own fault. And then you complain about how, well, you know, the men get paid more. Okay, so you should have negotiated a better deal. It's all performative nonsense. And your performative nonsense actually has downstream effects for the culture. It turns out when the entire media mirror the notion that Megan Rapinoe is some sort of horrific victim of American society, that all you're doing is promulgating a lie. It's amazing who's considered a victim in American society these days. Truly, truly. Not the person who is working two jobs and is poor and is being harmed by outside forces. Not that person. The person who's really victimized is, like, you know, Americans like Megan Rapinoe, Meghan Markle, Jussie Smollett. Like, we have so many victims in American society. It's hard to keep track of all the victims who make lots of money in the United States. It's very hard to keep track of all the victims like LeBron James. Like, it's so many victims who earn more money than anybody could possibly hope to imagine making. and have had, honestly, like the easiest lives in America. And yet these are the victims. These are the victims, man. So bottom line is, honestly, I'd rather have a patriotic team that loses than an unpatriotic team that wins. So if the unpatriotic team loses, I shed no tears, no tears for a U.S. women's national team. And this doesn't apply to everybody on the U.S. women's national team, by the way. Not everybody on the U.S. national team, I assume, agrees with the sort of social justice pandering woke nonsense that Megan Rapinoe pushes. But anybody who decides that they're going to go along with it, yeah, I hope you lose. I do. End of story. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be getting to Brad Thor. He has a brand new novel out. We'll be talking with him in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Brian Burton, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or a four-year university, or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our fall semester will offer more in-person classes on campus and more in-person student services. We'll continue to offer many of our classes via our flexible online environment for added convenience and choice. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or a certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill many of the positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan your tomorrow today. Fall semester classes begin August 16th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is my friend Brad Thor. He's the number one New York Times bestselling author of 20 thrillers. He's known for his fantastic plots. I mean, his books are just not only interesting reads, easy reads, fascinating. They're real page turners. And of course, his brand new book, Black Ice, will be released on July 20th. Brad, great to talk to you.
Hey, Ben. It's nice to be with you, too. Thank you.
So, Brad, your novels are always sort of driven by the headlines. What drove Black Ice?
Well, so I asked my network of people in the intel world, at the State Department, I asked them two questions when I get together with them. What keeps you up at night, and what do you think the press is not giving enough coverage to? And the one big thing I got back, and I was stunned because I didn't know anything about it, was China's ambitions in the Arctic, of all places. So there is a new Cold War that's starting to happen up above the Arctic Circle, where China has teamed up with Russia against us, and they are competing for not only shipping routes but minerals and all sorts of resources up there, and they are sneaking in military people posing as scientists. It is unbelievable stuff that was just such fertile ground for a spy thriller. I had to weave all of that into Black Ice.
So, Brad, I mean, we're living in sort of a sort of retrenchment period in American foreign policy, where the Biden administration seems to be somewhat conciliatory toward China, somewhat conciliatory toward Russia. We've seen them sign the Nord Stream 2 pipeline deal, which is very pro-Russian. We've obviously seen the Biden administration getting pretty conciliatory toward China. They kind of make strong statements and then don't back them up in any way. It seems like there's a bipartisan failure to really confront the threat that both China and Russia pose at this point.
Yeah, there's no question. And China's also watching, along with Russia and Iran, what we're doing in Afghanistan by removing all the troops. And I'm pro pulling the troops out. It takes us 13 weeks to make a United States Marine. We've been in Afghanistan for 20 years. If their army can't defend that country, that's their problem, not ours. We did more than enough, and they did too little. But China continues to be an aggressive near peer that we have to focus on. So with Russia and getting behind the Nord Stream 2, not putting the kibosh on that, that's going to be bad for our allies in Europe. I agree with you. The Biden administration needs to be much tougher on both Russia and China.
So what do you think the United States ought to do to shift its mindset? I mean, your book is really about fessing up to facing up to the problems that Russia and China pose. But Americans, by and large, don't seem to care about foreign policy until some radical event shows up on their TV. So what's sort of fascinating about your books is that it does make people much more aware of foreign policy when most Americans really don't follow it until, you know, God forbid, some sort of terrorist attack happens or there's a beheading somewhere and then the TV starts to show it.
Yeah, so the whole Russia-China thing is the backdrop against which I play out this spy thriller. We just sent a bunch of F-22s over to the South China Sea. It is really, really – we're in a dangerous time here, and I agree with you. We have to do one of two things. We have a very – let's back up. We have a very war-weary public, and nobody wants to go to war. But having been in Afghanistan and Iraq so long, we're kind of like – coming in and like closing the doors. And I agree with you, not paying enough attention to foreign policy. And that can hurt us. If we don't pay enough attention, it isn't until something really bad happens that people wake up. So we have to do one of two things. We either have to reengage and be much more muscular on the international stage, or we have to take some of the handcuffs off of our special operations people, off of the intel community, and we have to let them go out and do some things that everyday Americans might be uncomfortable with, but that need to get done to send the right messages to the bad guys around the world that we're serious. It doesn't matter if Biden gets out there and slams on the podium. If we've got our specialists out there doing what needs to be done, the message will be received. But right now, we're not doing anything.
Now, Brad, one of the problems that I see with regard to American foreign policy is there seems to be, and there has been since the Bush administration, this creeping sense, it started on the left, it's moved over to the right, that America's place in the world somehow makes the world worse, that American boots on the ground in certain places somehow makes the world a worse place. And, you know, I think we actually disagree on the withdrawal from Afghanistan, mostly because we've had one combat death in Afghanistan in the last 18 months. The notion that this is sort of an endless war where we're losing thousands of soldiers, that hasn't been true for probably nearly a decade at this point. But with that said, the baseline kind of feeling on both sort of an isolationist right and on an isolationist left is that America ought to be less muscular on the world stage. This is reflected in the foreign policy statements that you're seeing from people like Antony Blinken, who just informed the State Department offices, embassies around the world, that they ought to be telling places that really don't have a good history of democracy about all the flaws in American democracy, talking about all the flaws in American history. Now, you've seen General Mark Milley, who's the Joint Chiefs of Staff chair, talking about how we need to teach wokeness in the military. Like, why are any of these things the priorities of American foreign policy?
Well, they shouldn't be the priorities of American foreign policy. What should be the priorities of American foreign policy are liberty, safety, security, free trade. If you look at particularly Asia post-World War II and how the standard of living has gone through the roof in Asia because of the U.S. Navy putting down piracy in that whole area of the world. I mean, America, for what it stands for what it is, has risen everybody's boats, has brought the boats up. We have a better standard of life around the world, less people in poverty, more people moving into the middle class than ever before because of what America is and what it has done on the global stage. There is no other player that can step up the way that America does. You and I have had this conversation a lot, particularly when it comes to progressivism, where it's kind of this, it wants to tear things down. It doesn't have a replacement. It doesn't have anything to build up with. You know, when it comes to the military, it is tough to be a commander and have people from all different backgrounds. But we share one thing in common is that we're Americans. And if you come in, if you're gay, if you're black, if you're white, if you're straight, I don't care. If you're willing to join our all-volunteer force and pick up a rifle, I want you to be treated with respect and dignity. Doesn't mean we have to teach that all white people are inherently racist. We should be teaching an American creed, and that's what the military does. And if Mark Milley wants to read a book about white rage or wokeness or whatever, that's fine. But to teach soldiers that they are inherently bad because of their skin color, that I'm not okay with.
All righty, coming up more with Brad at Thor. First, if you've been listening to the show, you know how much I am against cancel culture. So instead of letting big tech cancel your right to free speech, how about canceling their access to your private data? That's why I use ExpressVPN. Have you ever wondered how huge tech sites make money when they're actually free to use? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, everything you click on, and then selling your valuable data to third parties. When you use ExpressVPN, your device's IP address gets masked. This helps anonymize your online activity, making it much more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from cyber criminals and hackers. What I love most about ExpressVPN, it does all of these things with just the tap of a button. It couldn't be simpler to use. You just fire up the app on any of your devices, you hit connect, and now you are protected. It's time to say no to censorship. Take back your online privacy at expressvpn.com/Ben. Visit my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to protect your data today. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Protect your data today. One click of a button installs it. One click of a button protects you. expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. So, Brad, we haven't really talked about the specifics when it comes to Russia and China again. I want to get your opinion on them. So, China, it seems like there is this vast disconnect between what the West would like China to be and what China actually is. There's this attempt by the West to turn China into a wonderful trading partner, at best a strategic competitor. It's pretty obvious at this point that they're an enemy, that President Xi has decided to go full authoritarian. And there's been a very large-scale change between even the era of Wang Xiaobo and Xi Jinping, that Xi has consolidated all power in the centralized government, that he's cracking down on the ability of corporations to do business unless those corporations do his specific propagandistic bidding. And it seems that the West is completely unprepared for this, because our entire idea was that they were going to liberalize the more we opened our economy to them and they opened our economy to us. And instead, it turns out that they've militarized capitalism against American corporations who then lobby their governments to be nice to the Chinese government, no matter how authoritarian the Chinese government gets.
Right, and that's true. I mean, there were all these hopes when Nixon went over to China, right? What was going to happen is the relationship got better between us and China, that we were going to be a model for them and they were going to liberalize more. You see what they're doing to the Uyghurs, forced sterilization. I mean, these are concentration camps. People used to say during World War II, we know where all the train tracks are going to. We know, why aren't we bombing the train tracks to stop these trains from going in? You know, this is one of the greatest strategic threats that America faces. And the problem with the United States, with our mindset, is we think in election cycles. The Chinese think in centuries, and they make those plans. You know, I was not a fan of President Trump's trade war against China. We ended up paying out to farmers twice as much as we paid out for the auto bailout under Obama. It was not something that worked. And the idea that somehow being nice to China was going to get us anywhere. I appreciate diplomacy. I appreciate that President Trump was trying to build something with North Korea and with China. We need to wake up and take these countries seriously. And if we don't, it'll be at our peril. And one of the biggest problems with China is our gray zone conflicts, where we had the Microsoft cloud service hack this week that got announced. Or China was identified as the bad actor behind that. In a country like China, where there is no liberty, there is no freedom of the individual, you cannot have any innovation. China can't invent things. China can't make huge strides forward in science and medicine. So they are left with stealing. China, the espionage out of China, the stuff they steal from us is amazing. And the bullying, as you duly noted and properly so, of corporations, where they make corporations turn over trade secrets and things like this. It's the only way China can move ahead in advance is through theft.
So, Brad, when we talk about Russia, right, Russia's the other big sort of international player in your brand new book, Black Ice. Russia is a second-rate power that's being treated like a first-rate power. It's a second-rate military power. It's a third-rate economic power. It's an authoritarian dictatorship run top-down by Vladimir Putin, but they do have nuclear weapons. And so we continue to sort of treat them with kid gloves, which is bewildering to me, because China, you can at least make the argument, is a strategic opponent that we ought to take super seriously. But Russia, it seems like we should really not be treating them with the kid gloves we've been treating them with, considering that their economy is, I believe, less large in terms of GDP than Italy's.
Yeah. So the biggest mistake that we made with China is under the Obama administration, when they went in and seized the Crimean Peninsula, that was the same thing as Hitler going into the Sudetenland and saying, I'm here to defend ethnic Germans. That was the exact argument Putin used. I'm here to defend ethnic Russians. That was a major problem. Shooting down an airliner, a Dutch KLM flight over Donbass in Ukraine. We continually make – history has taught us what will happen if we continue to make these mistakes with China, with Russia. And I agree with you 100%. I think the Russian people would love to be out from underneath Putin and the oligarchs. I think they would love it. They are very well educated. They are into the arts, ballet, reading. It's a wonderful population in Russia. They just have a crappy, crappy system of government the same way the Chinese do. So my beef is never with the Russian people or the Chinese people. They're in a really rough spot. But we need to step up and start setting the example and being tough on these countries, because being nice to them, it's not working. They're only getting worse.
Well, Brad Thor, his brand new book is Black Ice. All of his books ripped from the headlines. All of them are wonderful page turners. His hero, Scott Harvath, of course, one of the most popular heroes in sort of action fiction. Go check out his brand new book, Black Ice, right now. Brad, great to talk to you.
You too, my friend. Thanks, Ben.
Alrighty. Meanwhile, the Olympics are about to start. We'll see if we make it through this entire Olympics, because all the worries about COVID basically have the place empty. But piece of the day from the New York Times, this one courtesy of a guy named Kurt Streeter, quote, the Olympics rely on, but don't support, black girl magic. Now, I know that terminology like this apparently only applies to one race, because if you ever said white people magic, you'd be like, whoa, that's really racist and frightening. But black girl magic, you can say, apparently. It's very good, black girl magic. It's different from like regular girl magic because they're black, and it's different from regular black magic because they're girls. So it's really exciting stuff. According to the New York Times, for better or worse, the Tokyo Olympics are finally here, and that means an extraordinary burden will again fall on the shoulders of a single group of athletes, black women. It's an extraordinary, I thought that the Olympics were an extraordinary opportunity. Like, who considers performing at the Olympics a burden? It's all volunteer. You literally spend your life perfecting a skill, and now you get to show it off on the world stage, but it's a burden. It's a burden, says this columnist. Simone Biles is one of the most brilliant talents at the Games, but if recent history holds and she tries her most stunning moves in Tokyo, gymnastics officials will place an arbitrary limit on her score. Some say this is meant to discourage other competitors from attempting similarly dangerous aerial maneuvers. I say the sports regulators cannot deal with her sheer audacity. Oh, it's probably because she's black. Probably that's it. Also, Naomi Osaka is a supernova. Perhaps the most widely known female athlete on the planet not named Serena Williams. Osaka's idol, who astutely decided not to bother with the games, but Osaka will get tossed under the bus if she is not polite and pleasant in her interviews. A backlash prompted by her withdrawal from the French Open. Yes, more victims. So many victims who appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition and also Time Magazine. Gwen Berry is one of the most powerful hammer throwers in the world, one of the boldest athletes in protesting racism and injustice. But the Olympic overlords have made clear she'd better behave on the medal stand, or else. These games will have a split personality. The structure that wraps around and organizes sports, particularly the Olympic movement, fails in supporting women, distinctively so for black women, which is why black women are becoming extremely wealthy and extremely famous performing in the Olympics. Yeah, man. Racism everywhere. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be getting to Hunter Biden and his magical art career. First, let's talk about a simple fact. Now is an excellent time to refinance your mortgage. The rates are really low. You can get interest rates sometimes for under 3%. This is a great time to call American Financing. Take advantage of that free mortgage review I've been telling you about. There's no pressure, no obligation, no upfront or hidden fees either. Just a simple conversation around ways you can save up to $1,000 a month, plus thousands more over your loan term. You could even postpone two mortgage payments. That creates greater upfront savings. So what exactly are you waiting for? If the economy starts to come back, rates will get higher. That could happen by the end of the summer. Don't miss out on what's available to you right now. Pre-qualify for free by calling 866-721-3300. That is 866-721-3300. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Remember, now's great. I mean, listen, your biggest monthly bill is your mortgage. No question. If you could shave off like hundreds of bucks every single month, that's a lot of money. You could save up to $1,000 a month all by just going over to American Financing and letting them check out what sort of mortgages are available to you. Again, they can customize a mortgage to you, anything over 10 years. Go check them out right now. Call 866-721-3300. That is 866-721-3300 to get started right now. Alrighty, coming up, Hunter Biden. Great artist, great at snorting Parmesan cheese, great at so many things. Unfortunately, this whole situation is ripe for corruption. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you a homeowner and do you have a VA mortgage? Then think about a VA Streamline refinance from Guaranteed Rate. It's just for VA loans and it lowers your mortgage rate so you save money on mortgage payments. Maybe a lot of money. And it's so easy to qualify. You don't need pay stubs, a W-2 or bank statements. You don't need a home appraisal. And Guaranteed Rate will waive any lender's fees. That alone could save you almost $2,000. Mortgage interest rates are extremely low right now. So call today and you could lock in a great deal. Do you have a VA mortgage? Call 888-809-6007. 888-809-6007. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 2611. Not all borrowers will be approved. Restrictions apply. Guaranteed Rate Inc. has no affiliation with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, or any other government agency. Guaranteed Rate is proud to be a partner of the USO. Call 888-809-6007.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Daisy sheds like crazy. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our cat Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DinoVite.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dinovite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dinovite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dinovite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DinoVite.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
When the doctor told us about my mom's cancer, it made me feel so helpless.
until I called the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and spoke with Grace, who answered all of my questions about the disease, treatment options, and cancer-related expenses. Her support and compassion made us feel whole again. Today I'm calling Grace to let her know my mom is beating cancer. To learn more, visit lls.org. Furnished by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So remember that time that Hunter Biden became an artist? Remember that? You know, Hunter Biden has spent his entire career living off the family name. And now it turns out that Hunter Biden has become an artist, an amazing artist. He's so good at it. Apparently, one of the things that he does for his art is he apparently blows paint through a glass straw onto a canvas, which, frankly, is the most innocent thing he's ever done with a straw. So kudos to him there. Well, now, according to CNN, Hunter Biden is expected to meet with potential buyers at two of his art shows after the White House formed an agreement with the gallery to address ethics concerns. Biden is set to attend art shows in L.A. and New York City with Georges Berger Galleries spokeswoman Robin Davis telling CBS, oh, yes, with pleasure. He's looking forward to it. It is like someone debuting in the world, and of course, he will be there. A source familiar with the agreement told CNN that while Hunter Biden is attending the art shows, he will not have any conversations related to the selling of his art. Okay, so a lot of people have been worried that this is sort of a bribery routine, that if you want to bribe Joe Biden, the way that you do this is that you give Hunter Biden $500,000 for a painting that looks like it was done by an art student who was high on meth, right? That if you really want to make Joe Biden happy, you just funnel money over to Hunter, and then you go to Hunter, and you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, I bought your painting. Interesting. Yeah, you like that, do you? But originally, the case had been, they'd said, well, you know, Hunter will never even know who's buying his paintings. You know, it'll be anonymous. People buying his paintings won't even be able to communicate to Hunter or to Joe who exactly has bought Hunter Biden's paintings. Well, now Hunter is meeting with the potential buyers of his paintings. So that turned out to be a lie. Apparently, Hunter is expected to keep the conversations focused on the creative process of his art and what his art means to him, but not the sale or price. Yeah, man. Why would he have to discuss the sale or price? If five people show up to the art gallery, talk to Hunter Biden, and then they're like, you know, I really like that particular painting right there. I really love it. And then later it turns out that the painting was bought for $500,000. Are we going to pretend that that wasn't the person who bought the painting? So Jen Psaki was asked about this, and her answer is a less than honest.
We believe this is a reasonable system that has been established that allows for Hunter Biden to work in his profession within appropriate safeguards. So he's not going to discuss anything related to the selling of art. And I would reiterate that the gallery shall be the only person who handles transactions or conversations in that vein and will reject any offer that is out of the ordinary. The origin, I think, of this line of questioning, which is understandable, is about whether this would provide a situation for undue influence. But we won't know who they are. So there's no scenario where they could provide influence.
And somebody was like, well, couldn't they just say that they bought the painting? Couldn't they just go online the next day and be like, hey, I just bought a Hunter Biden painting? Or go to Hunter Biden quietly afterward and be like, hey, Hunter, you know what? You like that piece of art over the mantle over there? Yeah. You like that $500,000 check, did you? So ethics experts are like, no, none of this is workable. But it doesn't matter because this is the cleanest White House we've ever heard of. And obviously, I mean, clearly, these pieces of art are worth between $75,000 and $500,000. Those are the prices. From first-time artist Hunter Biden. Two sources familiar with the sales arrangement told CNN the purchaser of the artwork will be kept anonymous, and neither Hunter Biden nor the public will have knowledge of who bid on or purchased the work. If there's any unusual behavior, such as the offer price being too high, or the collector doesn't appear interested in the work, the gallery is expected to turn down the offer. How would you even know that? The collector doesn't appear interested in the work. What is he like? Well, yeah, that piece of art there, that's a piece of crap, but I'm giving $500,000. I mean, like, who's going to say this? However, there is no clear enforcement mechanism for the standards agreed upon by the gallery and the prospective purchasers of Hunter Biden originals, says CNN. White House and gallery sources had emphasized complete anonymity. The gallerist, Georges Berger, will track offers and purchases, will not share them with anyone, including Biden or the administration, said a source familiar with the agreement. Berger is not allowed to share the names of any prospective or actual buyers under the agreement. Yet Biden will be able to see who the prospective buyers are at the shows, even if he doesn't talk to them about the price or the sale. Yeah, we know. Oh, you mean that the cleanest administration ever is in fact not all that clean, and that Hunter Biden is in fact a grifter who spent his entire life grifting off of his father's name, just apparently as Joe Biden's brother has? It's amazing. You remember the month before the election, there's a lot of talk about Hunter Biden being under federal investigation, and then all of it was quashed by social media. It was all misinformation. And the institutions of our society said there was nothing to see here with regard to Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is just a wayward child. This is still how the media are treating him. This is still how the administration treats him. Well, you know, he's seeking his chosen profession. Oh, you mean the profession that he chose after he was on the board of an oil and gas company in Ukraine, which was also his chosen profession when he had no board experience and also no natural gas experience and also knew nothing about Ukraine. It's weird how his specific choices of profession seem to mirror exactly where the market is at a particular time when his dad is in power. Very, very weird. Very weird. Okay, we'll be back here on Monday with much, much more. In the meantime, have yourself a wonderful weekend. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Federal government buying more than 200 million more doses of the Pfizer vaccine. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
The additional doses will be used for boosters and shots for kids under 12. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the administration wants to have maximum flexibility to address changing conditions. The additional doses will be delivered between this fall and spring of next year. Meanwhile, Psaki says there's no vaccine mandate for White House employees. She refuses to say how many staffers are unvaccinated. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen going before Congress. She says she'll start taking emergency measures next week to keep the government from an unprecedented default on the national debt. Also at townhall.com, House conservatives pressing Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy to force a floor vote next week to oust Speaker Nancy Pelosi for blocking two Republicans from serving on the special committee investigating the January riots.
Such a vote on what's known as a motion to vacate the chair would quickly be rejected by Democrats and some moderate Republicans. The Freedom Caucus cited other reasons why Pelosi should be removed. She's allowed remote proxy voting by lawmakers due to the coronavirus pandemic, and she had metal detectors installed at the entrances to the House floor after the January 6th attack. But their main gripe was her decision this week to veto two of McCarthy's five GOP picks for the January 6th Select Committee. In response, McCarthy said Republicans would boycott participating in the committee, which kicks off its first hearing Tuesday. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Known as the Indian since 1915, Cleveland's Major League Baseball team, beginning next season, will be known as the Guardians. The American League club ending months of internal discussions. It's been going on now since actually early last year. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Dinesh D'Souza. Saving money has never been more important. But what more can you do to add money to your budget? How about refinance your mortgage? It's a viable solution that may save you up to $1,000 a month. That's right, $1,000 a month. You just have to call American Financing. Get a free, no-obligation mortgage review. And let an expert mortgage consultant talk to you about options that may fit you better. Because rates remain near all-time lows and chances are you can benefit. It could mean a lower monthly payment plus tens of thousands of dollars in long-term savings. And you can pre-qualify for free by calling 888-528-1219. That's 888-528-1219. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS, 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Palestinian official leaving the door open to trilateral peace talks. The latest from Media Line's Felice Friedson.
A senior Palestinian official says it's now possible to hold bilateral and trilateral talks with the United States and Israel. Hussein al-Sheikh, security liaison with Israel and head of dialogue with the U.S., told the Media Line in an exclusive interview that the Palestinians view President Biden's recitation of the issues as a roadmap for renewed negotiations. According to al-Sheikh, there are daily contacts between Washington and Ramallah, and efforts are focused on changing the atmosphere through direct talks between the Palestinians, Israelis, as well as the Americans. Al-Sheikh acknowledged the need to embrace the younger generation in political, economic, and social leadership. I'm Felice Friedson, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis, MediaLine.org and TownHall.com. Federal workplace safety officials are proposing nearly $1 million in fines against four companies following a January liquid nitrogen leak that killed six workers at a poultry processing plant in Georgia. OSHA's Kurt Petermeyer says they found companies managing and working at the plant violating multiple workplace safety standards.
OSHA found that Foundation Food Group Incorporated and three other companies working at the plant failed to implement any of the safety procedures necessary to prevent the nitrogen leak or to equip workers responding to it with the knowledge and the equipment that could have saved their lives.
History-making day on Wall Street Friday. The Dow was over the 35,000 mark for the first time. The NASDAQ gained 152 points for the day. S&P up 44. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up to big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, you'll remember that Joe Biden was elected on a couple of promises. One is that he would not be Donald Trump, which is a pretty easy promise to keep. All you have to do is not be Donald Trump. The other is that he would not be alive. And on one hand, he's kind of kept that promise because this president is not particularly sentient. But one of the big promises of him not being particularly alive was going to be that he was not radical and he was going to be a moderate. The problem for Joe Biden is that his entire administration is predicated. It sits atop the iceberg that is the Democratic Party. And that iceberg has been gradually drifting to the left. David Shore, who's a statistician and economist, he's of the left. He points out that basically all change in terms of policy, in terms of both parties, has come from the left since 2010. And people of the left have begun to acknowledge this. They begin to acknowledge, yes, we're getting more radical. Now, what they say is our radicalism is justified and good, but there is no question that Joe Biden himself has moved to the left. And this administration, which promised to be a return to some semblance of normalcy, might be more normal in terms of Joe Biden not tweeting, but it is certainly less normal in terms of policy. Joe Biden, however, has stacked his administration with people who are radicals. His Democratic Party has decided to overthrow years, decades, actually, of bipartisan agreement on key issues. So, for example, Nancy Pelosi has announced that the Democratic Party is going to ram through a revision of the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment has been an agreement between Democrats and Republicans that regardless of where you stand on abortion, federal tax dollars should not be used for individual abortions. Federal tax dollars, if you're going to spend them at Planned Parenthood, they're supposed to be used to cover Planned Parenthood's front office. Now, we all understand that there's a little bit of a legal lie going on here, that money is fungible. If you send Planned Parenthood money to cover its front office staff, then all the money they were going to use for their front office staff, they're now going to use for abortions. But at least the idea was that there was an agreement between Republicans and Democrats that abortion should not be federally funded. Democrats, however, have decided that abortion is an overt good. It is not that abortion ought to be safe, legal, and rare, as in the Clinton days, which at least allowed for the possibility of some crossover between left and right on abortion policy. Because after all, if the left acknowledges that abortion is a moral tragedy, and even if they want it to remain legal, they are not at least, quote unquote, pro-abortion. But the Democratic Party has now embraced on abortion the sort of shout your abortion idea. Be proud of your abortion. Abortion isn't merely a horrible thing that sometimes is necessary, as Democrats used to argue. Now, abortion is a point of pride. You can't actually usher yourself into the full flower of womanhood, another word that has no meaning, according to the Democrats, unless you have an abortion. Lena Dunham said this fairly openly a few years ago when she said she wishes she had had an abortion so that she could have really enjoyed the full freedoms of the law. Well, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, both of whom used to basically go along with the consensus view that federal taxpayer dollars should not be used for abortion, now they've reversed themselves. Joe Biden did it a couple of years ago. He had said that he was in favor of the Hyde Amendment. Then he reversed himself because he needed to move to the left. Now Nancy Pelosi is saying the same thing. Now, one of the great, I think, annoyances for many Catholics in the country watching Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi say this stuff is that very often they say this stuff in the name of Catholicism. And I'm going to go with the Pope and Jesus, not super huge on abortion. I don't have to be a Christianity expert to point out that abortion has been sort of a major issue for the Catholic Church since literally the entire Catholic Church. But here is Nancy Pelosi making the case that abortion is actually a positive good. Taxpayers should fund abortion. She starts off by talking about her Catholic faith, and then she's like, my Catholic faith. And she just kind of throws it out the window. Here we go.
As a devout Catholic and mother of 5 and 6 years, I feel that God blessed my husband and me with our beautiful family, 5 children, 6 years almost to the day. But that may not be what we should. It's not up to me to dictate that that's what other people should do. And it's an issue of fairness and justice for poor women in our country.
And so an issue of fairness and justice that poor women should be able to kill babies in the womb. Sure, my husband and I were blessed by God with these 5 or 6 kids. But if we've been poor and if we just want to kill one of them, who are we to judge? So the Democratic Party, in terms of policy, has moved in pretty radical directions here. And it's been true throughout the Biden administration. This is why they've embraced, quote unquote, equity as the core of all of the things they do, from NASA to commerce, from education to the Department of the Interior, from transportation to whatever is Joe Biden's policy prescription of the day. It's all equity. And equity, of course, is a code word for group social justice on the basis of race. Okay, this has been embraced by the entire Obama the Biden administration, which is the third part of the Obama administration. Here's Gina Raimondo, Biden's commerce secretary, yesterday saying that equity is at the core of her commerce strategy, which, again, I don't know why. It's not the Department of Equity. In fact, the Department of Equity would be unconstitutional because equity itself as a concept violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. But here is Gina Raimondo claiming that equity ought to be at the center of commerce.
Our number one investment priority is equity. And as our team decides this is a competitive grant process. By the way, I think that the fact of a competition will help communities to come together as a community and put their best ideas forward. In order to qualify to get the money, you have to prove to us that equity, you'll have an equity lens.
Okay, that's insane. So she's saying we have a competitive process, but the competitive process is not about best product, lowest price, which normally when you're negotiating on the behalf of taxpayers for grant money, that's usually the process. Now, the process is about, can you prove to us that you mirror our political priorities? Can you prove to us that you are committed to equity? And by equity, we mean you have a certain number of black people on your board and we have a certain number of gay people on your board. That's how we're going to make sure that equity is assured. Right? This is very radical stuff from the federal government. And the federal government not only has no business doing this, it's pretty clearly violative of constitutional principles. First of all, it should be violative of constitutional principles to force taxpayers to pay for abortions. It's clearly violative of constitutional federal principles, as well as the Civil Rights Act of 1964, to suggest that the federal government can dole out money to particular businesses based on how many people of a particular melanin level are on their board. Right? I'm unaware of a time in American history where the people who are stumping in favor of racial discrimination are the good guys. But this is the Biden administration. And they have at the top this man approaching senility who is able to put sort of a friendly face on this sort of stuff. But the underlying policy is really, really radical. And many of the people who are staffing the administration are really radical. It's kind of amazing the kinds of people who have been staffed in this administration. I mean, we've seen the DOJ staffed by absolute radicals. I mean, people who have written extraordinarily racially radical things, people who have been openly opposed to policing, now staffing up the civil rights division of the DOJ. Now we have a nominee to lead the Bureau of Land Management, right, which is all about negotiating the needs of people like ranchers and farmers who have to use the land in order to produce, and the federal government's vast oversight of huge quantities of land. Like, people, I think, don't have any idea of how much control the Bureau of Land Management has over various swaths of states. they have oversight of 247.3 million acres. 247.3 million acres. And the amount of land they have control of in each state is utterly crazy. I mean, if you look at the map, basically it's the entirety of the state of Nevada. BLM has control, not Black Lives Matter, the Bureau of Land Management, has control over nearly all of Nevada. It has huge control over Arizona. It has big control over New Mexico. I mean, if you look at the map, it really is amazing. Like, once you get to the west of Nebraska, pretty much half the country is under the control of the Bureau of Land Management. Huge swaths of California, huge swaths of Idaho, huge swaths of Oregon, two-thirds of Wyoming. Right, so the Bureau of Land Management is a pretty important position. So running the Bureau of Land Management, you don't want somebody who's, for example, an environmental radical. Because if you have somebody who's an environmental radical and in charge of the Bureau of Land Management, presumably that person is going to crack down on the ability of farmers and ranchers to do what they want to do. You'll remember that it was exactly this sort of conflict that led to the standoff with the Bundy family in Nevada. You remember this? Well, now, who's Joe Biden nominating to be the head of the Bureau of Land Management? It's a woman named Tracy Stone. So who the hell is Tracy Stone? It turns out that Tracy Stone, when in the 1980s, she worked with essentially an eco-terrorist group. And what they used to do is spike trees. So spiking trees was something that radical environmentalists would do in areas that were about to be used for lumber. They would go in and they would nail nails. They would spike the trees. They would put spikes, metal spikes, into the trees in order to break the saws and presumably injure and harm the people who are attempting to cut down the trees, because the trees are more important than the people. According to the Washington Post, one spring day in 1989, Tracy Stone rented a typewriter from the University of Montana Library and began to retype a letter. The typewriter was to avoid using her personal computer. The letter was an anonymous warning to the U.S. Forest Service that someone had hammered hundreds of metal spikes into trees in an Idaho forest that was slated to be cut down for timber. An acquaintance in her circle of young environmentalists had asked her to send it. After fixing a few spelling mistakes and removing some profanity, Stone dropped it in the mail. It was a decision that has followed her, now Tracy Stone Manning, for more than 30 years, through her rise in Montana politics to become one of the country's most prominent environmentalists and public land experts. And now President Biden's nominee to lead the Bureau of Land Management. The letter led to law enforcement raids on student houses and a grand jury investigation. Her testimony in the subsequent trial would help send two people to federal prison. Now that Stone Manning's nomination is in the Senate, Republican opponents have seized on the... It's pouncing. Okay, so the fact that you have an environmental radical, so radical that she was working with people to spike trees, possibly kill loggers. Her nomination is just another Republican seizing moment, Republican pouncing moment. Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming, who's on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, said Tracy Stone Manning collaborated with eco-terrorists. A Bureau of Land Management director during the Obama administration, Bob Abbey, also said he opposed her confirmation. Okay, again, this is an Obama administration official because of her involvement in the tree spiking incident and, quote, the fact that her initial silence put people at risk. Apparently, she did not cooperate with prosecutors in that case. However, Jeff Fairchild, who spent 2 months in federal prison for the tree spiking, said in a phone interview, quote, other than the mailing of the letter, Tracy knew nothing. It was not involved. She was a bridge builder. She was a moderating voice in every discussion. She was always the one to say, hey, look, loggers have families, too. Well, I mean, if that's the case, then why did she send a letter trying to explain to people that the trees had been spiked? By the way, here is what the actual letter says, okay, in case you were wondering. Again, she wrote this, she or at least it transcribed it. Quote, to whom it may concern, this letter is being sent to notify you that the post office sale in Idaho has been spiked heavily. The reasoning for this action is that this piece of land is very special to the earth. It is home to the elk, deer, mountain lions, birds, and especially the trees. Like the Lorax, she speaks for the trees. The project required that 11 of us spend 9 days in god-awful weather conditions spiking trees. We unloaded a total of 500 pounds of spikes measuring 8 to 10 inches in length. The sails were marked so no workers would be injured, and so you a-holes know that they are spiked. The majority of trees were spiked within the first 10 feet. Many, many others were spiked as high as 150 feet. I'd be more than willing to pay you a dollar for the sail, but you would have to find me first. And that could be your worst nightmare. Sincerely, George Hayduke. P.S. You bastards go in there anyway, and a lot of people could get hurt. Again, this is pretty wild stuff. And her history is, I think, pretty dispositive of the fact. I mean, this is not somebody who's just a radical in college, right? This is somebody who's actively working with an eco-terrorist group. But according to the Biden administration, this is a great nominee. And by the way, her actual vote has now emerged to the full Senate on a 10-10 vote, on a party line vote in this particular committee. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second first. If you've been listening to the show, you know how much I hate cancel culture. And here is the thing. Cancel culture very often uses your data, right? Somebody will hack your email. Somebody will grab what you've been doing online, and then they'll use it in order to target you. Well, here's the thing. You can protect your internet activity. Instead of letting big tech cancel your right to free speech, how about canceling their access to your private data? That's why I use ExpressVPN. Have you ever wondered how huge tech sites make money when they are actually free to use? Well, they track your searches, video history, everything that you click on, and then they sell your valuable data to third parties. When you use ExpressVPN, your device's IP address gets masked. This helps anonymize your online activity. It makes it much more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from cybercriminals and hackers as well. What I love most about ExpressVPN, it does all of these things with just one tap of a button. Couldn't be simpler to use. You just fire up the app on any of your devices, hit connect, and now you are protected. It's time to say no to censorship. Take back your online privacy at expressvpn.com/Ben. Visit my link. You'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free today. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Protect your data today. Alrighty, coming up, we'll talk about the Bureau of Land Management. There are so many government agencies that you don't know about who have the power to destroy your life. Bureau of Land Management is one. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you ever lose your balance or feel dizzy for no apparent reason? Do you hear ringing in your ears or have migraines? Well, you're not alone. 1 in 5 Americans will experience these symptoms, which could be signs you have a problem with your inner ear or vestibular system. Because these symptoms are invisible and hard to describe, they are often overlooked by doctors and dismissed by family and friends. We can help. Call the Vestibular Disorders Helpline at 800-837-8428. That's 800-837-8428. Or visit us online at liferebalanced.org. Sponsored by the Vestibular Disorders Association.
Daisy sheds like crazy.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for Cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss. Call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Biden administration has now nominated an eco-radical to head the Bureau of Land Management, and that should matter. The notion that the Biden administration is going to be elevating to high position as the head of the Bureau of Land Management, there are all these government agencies that honestly have so much unbelievable power that you've never heard of. Like, how many people, particularly in big cities, have ever heard of the Bureau of Land Management? Not many. But if you are a rancher, if you're a logger, if you're a farmer, if you're anybody that has to do anything with the land anywhere west of Nebraska, then not only have you heard of the Bureau of Land Management, they basically can wreck your life. And the person that the Biden administration wants to elevate to this position of unbelievable power is a person who used to spike trees on behalf of radical environmentalists, or at least defend those who were spiking trees. The atmosphere was so tense at the 1993 trial of these eco-terrorists in the conservative city of Spokane, Washington, where Stone Manning testified, defendants were given bulletproof vests to get to the courthouse. Stone Manning has long offered a simple defense for her decision to mail the anonymous letter on the sabotage in the Clearwater National Forest, about 2 hours from campus. Because I wanted people to know the trees were spiked, she testified. I didn't want anybody getting hurt as a result of trees being spiked. The four-paragraph letter she mailed put it a lot more bluntly. Jake Krelick met Stone Manning in Washington in 1988, according to the Washington Post, before she moved to Missoula, when they were both interns at the National Wildlife Federation. A child of the Beltway who grew up in Silver Spring, Stone Manning had majored in radio, film, and TV as an undergrad at University of Maryland. But she was passionate about environmental issues, Krelick recalled, and once she enrolled in the University of Montana's Environmental Studies program, she became active alongside him in a local branch of Earth First. The group had a reputation for extreme frontline environmental activism in opposition to logging, dam building, and other development that threatened wilderness habitat. Tactics included civil disobedience and vandalism. Activists chained themselves to heavy machinery, laid down before bulldozers, and cut power lines. Their slogan, no compromise in defense of Mother Earth. Mother Earth. Krelick's Earth First debut occurred in the winter of 1985 when he and others barged into the office of Yellowstone National Park Superintendent Bob Barbie carrying buffalo dung and a Don't Tread on Me flag to protest the expansion of a campground and RV park into grizzly bear habitat. He would get arrested several more times. Recalled Krelick, quote, Stone Manning was a spokesperson and someone who was obviously very articulate and knew how to work with the media. Certainly she was philosophically aligned with what our goals were, which was to protect the last wilderness areas in the Northern Rockies. Okay, so Senator John Barrasso went after Tracy Stone Manning in his in her questioning the other day, and of course he is exactly right.
Tracy Stone Manning collaborated with eco-terrorists. She lied to this committee, and she continues to harbor extremist views most Americans find reprehensible. She is thoroughly disqualified from holding the important position of director of the Bureau of Land Management. In 1989, while a grad student in Montana, Tracy Stone Manning collaborated with eco-terrorists who had hammered hundreds of metal spikes into trees in a national forest.
By the way, she did lie to the Senate. According to John Barrasso, Ms. Stone Manning claimed she had, quote, never been arrested or charged, and to my knowledge, the target of such an investigation. That's not true. According to court documents and news reports, Stone Manning was investigated in a 1989 federal probe of the tree spiking conspiracy. She was subpoenaed to provide physical evidence, including hair samples. She admitted in 1990 she was an investigative target. Her experience, she said, was, quote, degrading. It changed my awareness of the power of government. Yes, this was happening to me and not someone in Panama. Stone Manning also claimed she later testified in a trial that resulted in the conviction of a responsible individual. That's part of the story, but the reality is she did not cooperate with investigators. A retired federal law enforcement agent, who was the lead investigator for the crime, wrote to the Senate saying she helped plan the spiking and was a target of the investigation and refused to do anything to help. Her intransigence set the probe back by years. Only after she was caught and offered immunity did she agree to testify against one of the spikers in 1993. And this is who Joe Biden believes would be an excellent pick to lead up the Bureau of Land Management. Because, again, it's a radical administration. Some of us warned about this before the election of Joe Biden, but some people did not listen. Meanwhile, the Democrats continue to ram forward their massive spending plans. So there are a couple of things that are on the table right now. There is the Senate bipartisan infrastructure plan, in which you have Senator Mitt Romney, Senator Rob Portman, who have signed on to this sort of thing. And the idea here is $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan. But the Biden administration has made extraordinarily clear their actual plans here. Anything that doesn't make it into the $1.2 trillion quote-unquote bipartisan plan gets squeezed on over into the $3.5 trillion budget plan. And it turns out that Bernie Sanders is in control of that process because he and his fellow radical senators and his fellow radicals in the House have decided they're going to hold up the giant Democrat-only infrastructure plan unless it grows even more. According to CNBC, the Republicans working to craft the $1.2 trillion proposal voted Wednesday against advancing it as they draft final legislation. For some odd reason, Chuck Schumer decided he was going to bring up the legislation for a vote before it had even been drafted. Despite the setback, the 22 Democratic and GOP senators drawing up the bill said they hoped to release and push ahead a bill in the coming days. According to CNBC, the vote leaves President Joe Biden's top legislative priority in flux. If the bipartisan deal to revamp transportation, broadband, and utilities falls apart, Democrats will have to consider whether to pair physical infrastructure plans with their separate $3.5 trillion package to address climate change, health care, and child care. Asked Wednesday during a CNN town hall, Biden said he thinks the Senate will vote Monday to advance the bipartisan framework he negotiated with the senators. And the question here is, how much do you trust Joe Manchin? Because, of course, this is going to come down to Joe Manchin. Why Republicans would work with Democrats if Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are just going to vote party line in order to advance the inflated bill along with the bipartisan bill, I don't know how Republicans would provide any level of cover for that. But here's the thing. Democrats have no doubt about this. They're just going to ram this forward regardless. Representative Catherine Clark, Democrat of Connecticut, she says, yeah, we're going to pass infrastructure pretty much no matter what.
They are going to pass because that is what the American people sent us here to do. They said to us in 2020, we want action. We want to be at the center of the priorities again. That's why Democrats won the White House, the House, and the Senate. It is not going to be easy. Our margins are slim. But what we have in abundance is a commitment to getting this done.
Alrighty, coming up, how radical is the Democratic economic policy? It's so radical, swing voters hate it, and even Joe Manchin's concerned about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full-flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident? And find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop it at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. The Northern California Veterans Museum presents the Wall of Remembrance to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the Global War on Terror. To memorialize the victims of terror, their names have been placed on a traveling exhibit. The exhibit will be free and open to the public all day and night from July 28th to August 1st. There will be an art gala and fundraiser featuring works from the veterans and military family members. There will also be a sunrise service and Vietnam Memorial commemoration on Sunday, August 1st. For more information, call 510-8210.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, how radical is Democratic economic policy? Swing voters hate it, and even Joe Manchin's looking at it like, guys, what are you doing? Here was the senator from West Virginia yesterday saying, listen, there are a bunch of Democrats trying to hold up this giant budget bill because they want more. I don't know what they're talking about. Here's Joe Manchin yesterday.
How concerned are you about what your party's talking about, like climate change and what that means for your
industry? Well, the only thing, we have a difference. You know that. You've heard me talk on that. I'm an all-in policy. I'm all-in energy. We have to have everything. The United States of America has to be energy independent.
Well, what they're proposing, is that going to decimate your industry?
Well, what they're proposing, the timing of what they're proposing would make it almost impossible to achieve that.
Okay, no, again, these policies are really radical, but Joe Biden wants his world-beating policy because he knows that by the end of 2022, he ain't going to be in control of the House anymore. The Republicans have a really, really good shot at taking back the House in 2022. And increasingly a good shot at retaining the Senate as well, or taking it back, rather. I think the Democrats are going to lose their seat in Georgia. There's a very close race in New Hampshire. It looks like Democrats are slated to lose that seat as well. There's a lot of talk about Wisconsin. Senator Ron Johnson, who has made some mistakes, but has overall been a pretty good senator from Wisconsin. He's been talking about how he might not want to run. There are a bunch of other Republicans in Wisconsin who are pretty popular, like Representative Mike Gallagher. He might run for the Senate in Wisconsin, in which case you could be looking at a full Republican Congress by the end of 2022. Which means that Joe Biden needs to get his world-beating plans through right now. Joe Biden also understands he is in all likelihood a single-term president, because frankly, the man is in decline. It is clear that he is in decline. He cannot hold it together. I mean, it is pretty incredible. The running gun battle with the teleprompter, just it continues each and every day. He's just incoherent. He doesn't make any sense. And so what that means is, if he wants to go down in history as a successful one-term president, he knows that the way the historians write the record books, the more you spend, the more the historians love you. It is just a fact. And it is unbelievable. It's an unbelievable fact, actually. If you look at how historians rank presidents in the 20th century, the way they tend to rank presidents in the 20th century is, the more you spend, the better you were. Incredibly enough, if you look at how historians rank the presidents of the 1920s, the 1920s were an excellent decade for the United States. The 1920s were called the Roaring Twenties for a reason. Yet, Calvin Coolidge, Warren Harding, these were terrible presidents. FDR, who presided over the worst depression in American history with crappy economic policy pulled directly from his colon, he is considered like the best president of the 20th century. And the other transformative president is the guy who led us into Vietnam, led to the morass of the war on poverty, spending $22 trillion over the subsequent half century, and led to the societal breakdown of all possible coherence in the United States, LBJ. So, but historians love the guy. Joe Biden knows this. And because Joe Biden knows this, he's like, okay, I'm going to spend up the wazoo, and I'm going to pretend that the consequences that attend to spending are not, in fact, a big deal. Now, here's the thing. Most Americans are not in on this. So MSNBC, they did a swing voter panel the other day. And remember, this is an MSNBC swing voter panel. So this is not a right-wing panel. The MSNBC swing voter panel was like, yeah, these spending plans are crazy. We don't need that. We're in the middle of an economic recovery that should be naturally occurring. And if it weren't for the media scaring the living hell out of everybody about the Delta variants, would it be even more naturally occurring? We'll get to the Delta variants in just 1 second. But the swing voters are looking at Joe Biden's spending plans like, this doesn't make any sense at all. What are you doing?
I want to give you some findings that really just get to the public's collective unease. Once you start getting to those numbers, we asked a question where we said, if there was that level of spending, what would concern you? And here's what we got. We got 74% would be concerned with runaway inflation, 78% that it would be higher taxes on them personally down the line, 69% lower growth, 69% a negative impact on my family's finances.
Okay, those are terrible stats for Joe Biden. Remember, that's a panel of swing voters. So what are the Democrats doing? They're pushing full forward ahead, all speed. So Janet Yellen, who's the Treasury Secretary, she's, by the way, now changed her tune. She cautioned on Thursday that prices could continue to rise for several more months. Okay, so remember, at the beginning of the year, they were saying it'll be mild inflation. Now the inflation is like 5%. The unemployment rate's actually spiked. They're actually going up. More people are claiming unemployment now than they were before, like as of like last month. And yet Joe Biden continues to push forward with his plans. It really is an amazing thing. Remember, Janet Yellen went from inflation is not a big deal and will go away very, very fast. It's transitory, to inflation might be around a little longer than you want to. Yeah, inflation's just a part of life now. She said during a closing bell interview on CNBC, quote, we'll have several more months of rapid inflation. I'm not saying this is a one-month phenomenon. I think over the medium term, we'll see inflation decline back toward normal levels. But of course, we have to keep a careful eye on it. Well, the problem is once inflation starts to run out of control, you're going to get economic contraction. Because if inflation starts to run out of control and the Fed is already at 0% essentially, when they raise the rates, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to make lending harder. But it's going to make lending harder at a time when the prices are higher, which leads to a slowing of the economy. Once you start to superheat the economy, this is the problem with central banks taking control of economic policy. Once they're in control of economic policy and they've shot their wad, they've used all their ammo, there's nothing more they can do. If the economy just starts to stagnate, they really have no choice. This is how you end up with stagflation, 1970s style stagflation. And right now, you can see that the unemployment statistics are beginning to actually climb, oddly enough. Now, there's no reason for that. We have 10 million open jobs. We have 10 million open jobs in the country right now and not enough people to fill them. People are just not even applying for the jobs. And yet, according to CNBC, the U.S. jobless claims showed a surprising gain. This is just a couple of days ago. Weekly jobless claims unexpectedly moved higher last week, despite hopes that the U.S. labor market is poised for a strong recovery heading into the fall. Initial filings for unemployment insurance totaled 419,000 for the week ending July 17th, well above the 350,000 Dow Jones estimate and more than the upwardly revised 368,000 from the previous period, the Labor Department reported on Thursday. Government bond yields edged lower. Wall Street pointed to a negative open. The jobless count was the highest weekly count since May 15th. Again, remember, we're supposed to be getting people back to work. Now, even Joe Biden is having to admit some truths here. So Biden admitted the other day that, unemployment benefits probably have kept people from working.
There's some evidence that maintaining the ability to continue to not have to pay your rent so you don't get thrown out and being able to provide for unemployment insurance has kept people from going back to work. There's not much distinction between not going back to work in a restaurant and not going back to work at a factory. So people are looking to change opportunities, change what they're doing.
Okay, but meanwhile, Joe Biden is also just lying about his own policy. So Joe Biden said at the CNN town hall, which, by the way, had the worst ratings of pretty much anything on cable TV because no one wants to watch a guy be asked questions about what his flavor of ice cream is, like what's his favorite flavor of ice cream. Here is Joe Biden being asked about his spending bills and inflation. Again, his own Treasury Secretary says we're going to look at many more months of rapid inflation. Here is Joe Biden being like, no, my spending bills are going to bring down inflation, which is real galaxy brain type stuff here.
Moody's today, when our Wall Street firm, not some liberal think tank, said if we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will in fact reduce inflation, because we're going to be providing good opportunities and jobs for people who in fact are going to be reinvesting that money back in all the things we're talking about, driving down prices, not raising prices.
No, Moody's did not say that, by the way. He's not even telling the truth there. What Moody's said is they think that inflation will be transitory and will eventually go away. But they did not say that inflation is going to be reduced by spending money. The definition of inflation is more money chasing fewer products. If you create the more money, you create the inflation. Everyone understands this. Everybody knows this, except apparently Joe Biden, who's just a I will say he has been, for nearly his entire career, a very, very smooth liar. I remember when he debated Paul Ryan, he just would say things in 2012 that were overtly untrue. I mean, clearly untrue. But he would say them with the weird Joker smile, the Cesar Romero, and everybody would go, oh, it must be true. Well, what he just said there makes no sense at all. Here is the President of the United States also oddly bragging about Delaware's corporate record. He's talking about how he knows how business operates because a lot of businesses incorporate in Delaware. You know why businesses incorporate in Delaware? I know, because I have businesses incorporated in Delaware. You know why businesses incorporate in Delaware? Because Delaware, for many businesses, does not have corporate tax. Also, Delaware has very predictable rules of the road, which is why people incorporate in Delaware in the first place. In fact, all the things that Joe Biden hates about Delaware are the things that make Delaware successful in terms of being an incorporation center for many businesses in the United States. Here's Joe Biden talking about Delaware, even though, again, he's had nothing to do with the formation of state law in Delaware that has made it a corporate haven.
We have more corporations registered in Delaware than all the rest of America combined. Combined. I represented for 36 years. I've never seen a time when we have the middle class growing that the wealthy didn't do very, very, very well.
Okay, I know that his new mode of communication, because the brain is not working all that fast, is just to repeat. Repeat, repeat, words, 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 over and over and over, right? It's going, inflation is going to be reduced, reduced, reduced. Okay, dude, no matter how many times you say it, it just ain't true. It just ain't true. I am amused, by the way, by some of the creative proposals that are now being put forward by folks on the left to tamp down inflation. And fight the reality, which is that people are looking for other sources for investment value other than the United States dollar and bonds. One of the reasons, by the way, that Democrats are very skittish about Bitcoin, for example, is because Bitcoin is a repository of value that is not tied to the United States dollar. So they're very scared of Bitcoin. They're very scared of the idea that there could be, theoretically, a cryptocurrency that people could trade in without reference to the United States dollar, could debase the United States dollar as actually the reserve currency if it were allowed to run out of control, which is why governments are starting to crack down on it. But the solution that is now being proposed, which is a sort of Fed coin, why would I possibly invest in a Fed coin when they can just inflate the Fed coin? That's the same thing as investing in the dollar. Why would I do that? I'm not going to invest in anything that can be manipulated by the central bank. It's precisely for that reason that Bitcoin was created in the first place, that cryptocurrencies were created in the first place. There will be flight like you've never seen to crypto if the Democrats keep this sort of stuff up. It really is an amazing thing that the solution to failed government policy is always, what if we just manipulated the government policy more? In fact, if you don't like how we're manipulating the dollar right now, if you don't like how we're manipulating the level of money in the economy right now, wait until we offer the same thing to you, but digitally. Hell of a pitch there. Okay, in just a second, we'll get to the radical Democratic COVID policy, which continues to be utterly disconnected from reality. Get to that in just one moment first. Now, I'm a pretty busy dude. I got to host the show, raise my three kids, write books. There's a lot going on. That's why I recommend M-Drive. It's the everyday supplement for men driven to stay ahead in their life and career, want to be the best at what they do, and not slow down while doing it. There's so many energy sucks that occur over the course of a given day. M-Drive can help you fight that. It gives you the energy to tackle your busy day and still be at your best when you go home at night. Invented by a world-class scientist who made it for himself to help fight back against aging, M-Drive is packed with clinically tested ingredients that help boost your energy and your strength. Get your M-Drive at mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code BEN. They have free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Energy, strength, and drive join the growing community of driven men who aren't ready to slow down just yet. Go to mdriveformen.com, promo code BEN. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive right now. mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off your first order with that promo code BEN. Again, they've got the free shipping. They've got the 60-day money-back guarantee. Give it a try. See if you like it. mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off with promo code BEN. Alrighty, coming up, the Biden administration continues with radical masking policy. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you a homeowner and do you have a VA mortgage? Then think about a VA Streamline refinance from Guaranteed Rate. It's just for VA loans and it lowers your mortgage rate so you save money on mortgage payments. Maybe a lot of money. And it's so easy to qualify. You don't need pay stubs, a W-2 or bank statements. You don't need a home appraisal. And Guaranteed Rate will waive any lender's fees. That alone could save you almost $2,000. Mortgage interest rates are extremely low right now. right now. So call today, and you could lock in a great deal. Do you have a VA mortgage? Call 888-809-6007. 888-809-6007. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 2611. Not all borrowers will be approved. Restrictions apply. Guaranteed Rate Inc. has no affiliation with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, or any other government agency. Guaranteed Rate is proud to be a partner of the USO. Call 888-809-6007.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dynavite with every meal.
DINOVITE.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democratic Party has decided this is a forever pandemic, and the White House is going to push masks, presumably, until the end of time. I mean, it truly is an amazing, amazing thing. Okay, so, here are your latest stats with regard to vaccinations and COVID. Because what you're hearing from the media is that COVID breakthroughs with regard to vaccination are happening all the time. And not only are they happening all the time, people are getting super sick or dying from COVID, even after they've been vaccinated. And all this does, it's amazing. The same media who are screaming at Republicans, why don't you get vaccinated, are putting out headlines routinely talking about how people who are vaccinated must wear masks because, God forbid, even if you're vaccinated, you might get the disease and you might die. Okay, now, the reality is, statistically speaking, you are extraordinarily unlikely to get seriously ill or die from COVID after you've been double-vaxxed. Once you've been double-vaxxed, you're in pretty good shape. Okay, I'm going to give you the stats right now. This is according to the New York Times. As of July 12th, more than 159 million people in the United States had been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Of those 159 million people, just 5,492 had breakthrough cases that resulted in serious illnesses, including 1,000 who died. That is less than 0.0007% of the vaccinated population. Meanwhile, 99% of deaths from COVID-19 are among the unvaccinated. Okay, so what that means is that vaccination is extraordinarily powerful. It has done really well. And masking ain't going to change the trajectory of this thing. Vaccination is going to change the trajectory of this thing. Because once you're vaccinated, you're pretty much done. I've been saying this for a long time. And if you're a kid, right now they're talking about masking kids up again, which is nuts. Okay, I'm sorry. It's crazy. I have small kids. They should not be masking. The reason they should not be masking is because, number one, they can't wear masks properly. Number two, wearing a mask for a small child is actually kind of damaging. It restricts their oxygen intake. Number three, they're dirty. They're gross. Have you seen a kid wear a mask? Kids are dirty and gross anyway. I have three of them. And now they've got a piece of cloth over their face they're spitting into all day. Okay, you're talking about, for kids, a disease that is not extremely dangerous. You're talking about a disease that has killed 340 kids nationwide under the age of 18. That is a cohort of 75 million people. with a much wider diagnosis of COVID than you get in typical flu season. So when people say, well, yeah, fewer people die of the flu each year, if they're kids, then die of COVID. That's because fewer people get the flu than get COVID, because COVID's much more transmissible than the traditional influenza that people have in the winter, for example. Okay, bottom line is, the real reason they're telling kids to mask up is to protect adults. Okay, here's the thing. If you're an adult and you didn't get the vaccine, my kid should not have to mask because you didn't get the vaccine. That's your decision. You're free to make it. And by the way, I have lots of friends. I know lots of people who have not gotten the vaccine. Their reasons range from the spurious to the somewhat understandable, right? Some of them are like, well, you know, the vaccine is going to kill. No, it's in all likelihood not going to kill you. Okay. Also, and when I say in all likelihood, I mean vanishingly small numbers of people. Is there evidence that the vaccines have killed them? Okay. Not a million people. Very, very few people. Okay. And then there are people who say something else, which is, I'm young. I'm healthy. COVID is not likely to kill me. The vaccines are not likely to kill me. The vaccines don't even have full FDA authorization at this point. They're still emergency use authorization. I'm 21. I've weighed the balances, and I think that the risks of taking the vaccine long term maybe outweigh the risks of me even getting COVID. All right, if that's your decision, that's your decision. But the point is, my kid should not have to mask for your decision, because that's really dumb. That's really, really dumb. It doesn't matter. We're still seeing the Biden administration pushing forward with new masking policies. Okay, so for example, you have CNN's Dr. Liana Wen, and she is saying the mask mandates will have to come. Here is Dr. Liana Wen saying this on CNN.
The CDC in the first place made the right decision when it comes to the science, but they didn't take into account human behavior. And I think there's something that there's one thing the Biden administration can be doing right now that would change the equation when it comes to incentives, and that's to use proof of vaccination. If they could say, get the vaccine, you have a proof of vaccination, you can take off your mask. That would be really key. And I also think that vaccine mandates are something that will have to come.
So she says we have to have vaccine mandates and that we need proof of vaccination. Or alternatively, if you have the vaccine, you're a responsible adult. And if you didn't have the vaccine, you can do what you want. And it's not our job to save you. Right? It's not our job to construct all of society so that we can make an excuse for the decision you made. And most people, by the way, who don't get the vaccine are perfectly willing to live with that decision. It's really, by the way, amusing to watch the left shift on this. So the left has gone fully to, if you don't get the vaccine, I mean, I've heard this from many people on the left, people with whom I'm friends. If you don't get the vaccine and then you get sick from COVID, we shouldn't have to pay your bills. And I think to myself, all right, that's fair enough. How about that for the entire health system? Glad to see you here on the libertarian side, gang. It is amazing to watch the Biden administration shifting back toward all of the masking policy. Again, they've made it political. The notion that the right wing has made it political is just crazy. Ron DeSantis has been as pro-vaccine as any governor in America. Right now, I'm looking at the vaccination rates in Florida. The vaccination rates in Florida, if you're 85 years old or older, 76% of that population has gotten one dose. 63% of that population has been fully vaccinated. If you're 75 to 84, 84% of that population has gotten at least one dose. The fully vaccinated constitute 72% of the population. If you're 65 to 74, 89% of that population has gotten one dose. 77% of that population is fully vaccinated. And then it starts to decrease by age. So that by the time you get to, say, 25 to 34, only about 36% of that population has gotten a dose. Why? Because people are making decisions based on their age. In fact, the risk of COVID by age is, if everyone were unvaccinated, looks very much like the chart of vaccination, because people respond to the incentive that COVID itself provides. Here is Ron DeSantis saying Florida is not going to require kids to mask because there is no rationale for this.
There's been talk about potentially people advocating at the federal level imposing compulsory masks on kids. We're not doing that in Florida, okay? At the end of the day, we got to start putting our kids first. We got to look out for their education. Is it really comfortable? Is it really healthy for them to be muzzled and have their breathing obstructed all day long in school? I don't think it is. And I look to think, yeah, I have a 3-year-old son. You got people like Fauci saying he should be muzzled, that you should be throwing masks on these 3-year-old kids. It's totally unacceptable.
He is exactly correct about this, but this drove the White House and Jen Psaki to say DeSantis is putting kids at risk.
If I were a parent in Florida, that would be greatly concerning to me. because kids under the age of 12 are not vaccinated. They're not eligible yet. As the president said last night, obviously it's going to be led by the FDA, but certainly we hope that will be soon. But that puts kids at risk. It's not aligned with public health guidelines. We know masks are not the most comfortable thing. I will say my kids are quite adjusted to them, as I know many kids are. So certainly we would have concern about any step that doesn't abide by public health guidelines, and we think it puts people at greater risk.
Maddening and insane. Maddening and insane. Puts people at greater risk? Who? The kids? The kids have been getting this throughout the pandemic, and the kids are okay. Okay, by and large, kids are okay, much more okay with this than they are, by the way, from pneumonia. But in the end, here's the thing about the radicalism of the Democratic public policy. It's all justified because Republicans are bad. Here was Joe Biden yesterday being asked a tough question and then saying, well, you know what, it doesn't matter, because after all, Republicans think we're going to suck the blood out of children.
Are there people who in the Democratic Party would
want to... Are there people in the Republican Party who think we're sucking the blood out of kids?
I'm not sure. Are there people in the Democratic Party who want to...
Mr. President!
In other words, they can be as radical as they want to be because Republicans are bad and all Republicans are QAnon and everyone in the Republican Party is crazy, so we never have to tackle our own radicalism. Okay, guys, you're going to pay the price for this in 2022. Go for it. Seriously, embrace the stuff because it's coming and it's coming for you. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Firefighters now officially ending the search for bodies in the debris of that collapsed condo in Florida. The decision concludes a month of often very difficult and dangerous work. Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava has very high praise for the first responders.
You have shown the world what superheroes look like.
Miami-Dade Fire Rescue Chief Alan Kaminsky says he's very proud of his firefighters.
What we just encountered this past 30 days, I mean, this represents what we are and who we are, you know, as a fire service and then obviously as a task force.
General Motors recalling some of the older Chevrolet Bolts for a second time to fix battery problems that can set those electric cars ablaze. Until repairs are concluded, GM says owners should park the cars outdoors and limit charging to 90% of battery capacity. Also at townhall.com, an untreatable superbug fungus spreading in two hospitals and a nursing home.
Outbreaks of the Candida auris fungus were reported in a Washington, D.C. nursing home and at two Dallas-area hospitals. A handful of the patients had invasive fungal infections that were impervious to all three major classes of medications. Health officials have sounded alarms for years about the superbug after seeing infections in which commonly used drugs had little effect. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported the cases on Thursday. John Scott reporting.
Trouble in Paris. French President Emmanuel Macron has held an emergency cybersecurity meeting to weigh possible government action. That after reports that his cell phone and those of other government ministers may have been targeted by spyware. He says the matter is being taken very seriously. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Mounds and mounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she's 10 years old. She has dandruff and an oily coat.
I have two cats, Zippy and Daisy. Daisy sheds like crazy.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
DinoVite.com.
I just tried this wonderful, catalicious Dinovite for cats, and my cat has been on it for 2 weeks. She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore. It is just the best.
I was thrilled when I heard Dinovite for cats was coming out because I'd seen the changes in my dog. To introduce my cat to Dinovite, I took the advice from Dinovite and put their food on top of just a scoop in the bowl just to get them used to it, because I know if I even switch one little thing, they put their nose up to it. There was not one problem.
Dinovite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DinoVite.com.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen telling Congress she will start taking emergency measures next week to keep the government from an unprecedented default on the national debt.
In a letter to House and Senate leaders, Yellen said her actions will buy time until Congress can pass legislation to either raise or suspend the debt limit. It's been suspended for the past 2 years, but is set to go back into effect at the end of the month. If Congress does not act by August 2nd, Yellen says additional extraordinary measures will be needed to prevent the United States from defaulting on its obligations. That, she says, would cause irreparable harm to the U.S. economy and the livelihoods of all Americans. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Possible prison time for a former Air Force intelligence analyst, Daniel Hale, says his guilt over participating in lethal drone strikes led him to leak government secrets. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Oh, the Cleveland Indians have finally agreed on a new name. We have more on that story from Dave Ferry.
The team that's been known as the Indians since 1915 will be called the Guardians, effective at the end of the 2021 season. The organization spent most of the past year whittling down a list of potential names that numbered 1,200 just over a month ago. Indians manager Terry Francona says the name change makes a lot of sense.
It's about other people, and you have to step outside of your own skin and think about other people that may have different color skin and what they're thinking. And we're trying to be extremely respectful, and I'm really proud of our organization.
The team's incoming logo font will be similar to their current style, as will the look on the new uniforms. The road unis with Cleveland on the front will appear identical to the old ones, although there will be a new look to the C on the caps. I'm Dave Ferry.
And more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Actually, crime is down. Gun violence and murder rates are up. Guns.
Other than murder and shooting, you know, crime is pretty much down. So what are you complaining about, America? Get over it. Jim Acosta, last night in Washington, D.C., he was that lead diplomat, which he apparently thinks everybody in the country, everyone around the planet, is familiar with a restaurant on 14th Street in Washington, D.C., which is, you know, you're familiar with developing nations. That's kind of a developing neighborhood. Truth is, my best girl and I had lunch at that very same restaurant, Le Diplomat, about 11 days ago, 12 days ago. We sat on the patio. We had their cheeseburgers. It's a Frenchy kind of bistro place. They own a restaurant in Philadelphia, too, right on Rittenhouse Square, you know, which is featured in the movie Trading Places on a number of occasions. That's where, like, I'm Agent Orange. I'm that's in Rittenhouse Square. That's where it all takes place in Philadelphia. I'm sorry, kind of an obscure movie reference, perhaps. Yeah, but this developing neighborhood, Washington, D.C., has a number of developing neighborhoods. And this is one of them. Jim Acosta of CNN, formerly a news organization. He is, boy, is he an angry man. I went to his Twitter thing yesterday because he posted a little video of Bang Bang, Bang Bang. We should bring back Bang Bang, Nancy Sinatra again, because that works in all kinds of contexts. And Jim Acosta, two men were shot. Apparently one of them was the target of the shooting. The other was randomly shot because he happened to be in a developing nation? Or is it a developing neighborhood? Where, you know, there are developing nations. We're doing the opposite in the United States. What's the opposite of developing? Deteriorating, perhaps? We're in a nation. We're not Haiti, you know, where the Clintons go to help things out and it never has any effect at all. But they do get some dates out of it. Because that's, you know, but I figured, what the hell, when's the next time I'm going to be in Haiti? You know how they are. They're the Democrats. Remarkable stuff. Oh, and their friend Harvey Weinstein. I didn't even get to that yesterday. He is pleading not guilty to 11 new sexual assault charges in Los Angeles, California, involving 5 different women. And he's like, what? I wasn't even there. I didn't even do it. He's like, he's a good friend of the Clintons and of the Obamas and of Meryl Streep and of all of Hollywood and much of, probably Matt Lauer is a good friend of his, I'm guessing. Where in the world is Matt Lauer anyway? So we got, crime, because there's a lot of crime in big Democrat cities, and it's out of control. But Joe Biden, let's play Joe Biden, because that's almost laugh out loud funny, were it not for the fact that they're dancing on the graves of untold thousands, disproportionately impacting people of color, just by the way. And this is, they're calling it a drive-by shooting. And I'm going to have to work on the technical definition of a drive-by shooting, because you know, they car drove up a black four-door sedan. What are they saying? It's a Nissan, is that what you're saying? I think they're saying it's a Nissan. And two young gentlemen who probably did very well in D.C.'s excellent school system jumped out of the passenger side, the front and back passenger side, and they opened fire with two firearms, apparently pistols. And then one eyewitness was saying, that I saw last night, said that people in an apartment building, they were shooting back at him. I think that's probably not right. But I saw an eyewitness on the television news, and he was saying that last night. Yeah, the people in the house started shooting back, and in the apartment building started shooting back, because it's the wild, wild west. The wild, wild west. And so one guy was shot, allegedly perhaps the target, and not killed, thankfully. And then another random person was killed there. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about this. There was a nice young man from Tacoma Park, which is the first nuclear-free zone in America, left-wing kind of co-op town, and on the border of Washington, D.C. And he was down there minding his own business with some friends a couple of weeks ago, married man with a couple of kids, 2 or 3 kids. And he was minding his own business walking on 14th Street when a stray bullet hit him and killed him. He was killed. And it was horrible, unbelievable, well, not unbelievable, a tragic story. And you see, this kind of made some news because Abilio, ashamed of his heritage, Acosta was he happened to be there eating at Le Diplomat, which he thinks everybody knows. And he had his telephone with him, which has, interestingly enough, a video camera inside of it. What extraordinary technology. And he started making video after the first volley of shots. Right. And there was by the time Acosta got rolling on his phone, I think he still caught about 10 shots. Wouldn't you say about 10 shots? You think 10? Probably 10. It's 9 or 10, I'd say. They're pretty quick. And that's Abilio walking up the sidewalk, not too swiftly, because, you know, there's a gunfight going on or an attempted assassination or something like that. And this developing neighborhood in Washington, D.C., it's being gentrified. And I was reading a story, I think, yesterday or day before yesterday in the Washington Post. The D.C. Democrat government, they're against gentrification because they don't want a nicer city. They want a worse city. And they, you know, they cut the police budget, but the mayor authorized some overtime money if police are looking for the murderer of a 6-year-old girl at the corner of Martin Luther King Boulevard and Malcolm X Boulevard, which Chris Rock would tell you to stay away from in the first place. And the little girl's mother was shot and 4 other people. You know, that's not news. You know, I mean, that's not news because that's not where Jim Acosta and Andrea Mitchell's friends go, like the ballpark, you know, Nats Park. and where we had the shooting the other night. We had the 6-year-old girl and five other people shot. The 6-year-old girl killed five other people shot, including her mother, on Friday night. And then the shooting at the baseball game, three people shot. Two of them may have been involved in nefarious acts at the baseball game on Saturday night. And then right on 14th Street, where it's very fashionable, and there are restaurants and things. There are furniture stores. We bought furniture at one of those quite recently. Our most recent, just a couple of months ago, we got that furniture store. Then people go there, and I said we had lunch there a couple of weeks ago and stuff. So, you know, and let me also say, this is like, I was talking to my friend, Maureen this morning, and she says that, this reminds her when she was a small child and white flight, that's what they called it at the time, was taking place out of cities, not because people were racists, as Maureen said, but because of the crime and because you weren't safe in your own home and your children weren't safe coming home from the bus stop. And the Democrats are doing it again. They're doing it again because this is what the left does. They destroy. And you know what conservatives do? We conserve and preserve what is good, and we peel away what is bad, what is antiquated, and we move forward. We're the actual progressives. The left is regressive as hell. We've got an amazing story out of China, too. They frog marched five people away in black hoods and handcuffs yesterday. I will explain why shortly. The reason is quite remarkable, but I'm concerned that we're headed in that direction here as well. We've also got masks, big mask stories, and Joe Biden accusing, I think it's like a blood libel thing, he's accusing Republicans. He thinks he's Jewish and Republicans are anti-Semites. None of that is true, of course. They're the party of anti-Semites as well, just for the record. But we'll get into that. We got crime, we've got masks. Oh, and also there's a new strain of the WHO. New strain of the WHO. Because, you know, the Greek alphabet. Now we have the gamma strain. You know, not your grandmother. It's not named for your grandmother. Hey, gamma? No, it's different. But it is apparently the most prevalent strain now in Illinois. It came out of Brazil. But we don't want to demonize Brazil because we're avoiding demonizing China. And that's why we don't want to demonize any place else. Because communism. And the communists let this loose, just by the way. One way or the other. All right. So with that, we got a lot of great stuff to get to. And it's Friday. I'm feeling a little... and I'm going to Chicago. Tomorrow for events there, big WLS dinner, WLS, golf tournament. Let's go to the phones right now. Let's go to Finn calling from Bethesda, Maryland. Finn, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, I got a good story to tell you. So I own a landscaping company. By the way, I'm the guy that calls. My wife is from the Basque region. She's from Bilbao.
Oh, excellent.
Anyway, I own a landscaping company here in Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
And two of my guys were down in Northeast DC in a neighborhood that, like you were describing, is probably changing or trying to change.
Mm-hmm. It's developing.
So it's developing. So they're in my client's front yard. And, I got three guys on the job. Two are in the front yard. They're putting mulch down. One guy's in the back. Black SUV drives up. One guy driving, three other guys. Three guys jump out. This is a story that's been told. We called the police. Put ski mask on. One guy runs up, grabs one of my employees, you know, threatening him or whatever.
Sure.
Trying to rob him. A guy comes up from behind him with a knife, and then there's a third guy coming up behind that guy. So my employee yells to my other employee. I don't want to give names.
Sure.
Yells to my other employee, who is, you know, several feet away in the front yard, sees what's going on, grabs one of the shovels that they take because we dig out, you know, like tree roots and things.
Because they're
like
landscapers,
that.
They have shovels. Yeah.
Yeah. We have these flat nosed spades, you know, that they take a grinder to and they sharpen them to like a razor. And he runs after the guy, El Kabongs one of the guy in the head. they all run, jump in the SUV, and drive down the street. My guys are in the, you know, chasing after him in the middle of the street. Call the police. A witness across the street sees the whole thing. Turns out that the police got a second call from a very similar, you know, attempted robbery or robbery, you know, an hour prior to this, or you know, half an hour prior to this.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the point is that it is crazy out there. It's like the wild. I never thought. I used to be a franchisee with Domino's Pizza. I used to have this conversation with my guys all the time. Listen, if anybody comes to you and wants to rob you, you give them whatever they want. You give them whatever they want. But if they try to take you into the walk-in, you fight like hell.
Yeah.
You're not coming out of the walk-in alive.
Yeah.
And I had to have that conversation with my guys yesterday. Like, look, this is happening. If you are on a job and people are trying to rob you, you give them whatever they want. If they want the money, I'll cover the money. If you have money in your pocket and they take it, I'll cover it. If they want the keys to the trucks or whatever, give it to them.
Yeah.
But if they try to put you in the truck and they try to drive away or whatever the case may be and something goes wrong, you fight like hell.
Well, you know, the sickening thing, Finn, is that you have to have this conversation with your employees, and that in Washington, D.C., there's a Starbucks not far from the radio station where three people, you're told, they were marched back into the, you know, the locker, the safe area, and three of them were murdered. This is several years ago. A friend of mine solved the murder, homicide detective. I talked about a couple of weeks ago. My best girl and I were out walking around and ran into a scene where two guys were shot at a construction site when two people jumped out of a car, went up and shot two guys working at a construction site. There was a murder about three blocks from where we live a couple of months ago now. And, you know, the crime is spinning out of control. The ski masks, the black SUVs are reminiscent of a third world country. I have a Peruvian friend. We were sitting on a patio talking, and he walked up and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And I said, "Well, it was just a shooting restaurant patio." Said, "Well, it's just a couple of guys were just shot about two blocks away." And he said, "You kidding me?" I said, "No, man, we just walked by the crime scene." He said, "What is this, Peru?" He says, "What is this, Peru?" And, you know, this is what happens when Democrats control a city for a long time. We've seen it again and again, and we're seeing it again now. And just as in the 1970s, in New York City turned into Taxi Driver and Escape from New York, they're doing it all over again because apparently we have short memories. And Finn, I'm sorry I ran out of time on you. Great story. But this is life in Washington, D.C., and I love the reference to El Cabong.
Cabong!
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. In fact, over 1 million homeowners took advantage of refinancing or buying a new home with Rocket Mortgage. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase again, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. With an official mortgage review from Rocket Mortgage, you'll see just how much money you could save by making a move right now. Don't look back over these next few weeks and wish that you had taken action. You could save hundreds on your mortgage payments or pay off your home loan earlier than planned. You could even take cash out of your home to pay off high interest debt, complete home repairs, or bulk up on an emergency fund. When you want to secure a low rate, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket. Call for cost information and conditions, equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030.
On our first date, we had masks on and kept 6 feet apart. Now, we're a lot closer.
Just like Cliff and Deb, thousands of singles over 50 found their perfect match on Silver Singles last year.
I feel like I'm 20 years old again, and I'm pretty sure she feels the same way.
Rediscover the magic of dating with Silver Singles, the exclusive community for singles over 50. Sign up today and receive daily matches you won't want to miss at silversingles.com/radio. silversingles.com/radio.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do.
They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go.
Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Nothing is more important than your vote. Now, lawmakers across America are pushing for election integrity to make sure your vote really counts. All this week, Newsmax's Sean Spicer and Lindsay Keith are exposing the flaws in our voting systems and how to fix them. Make sure you watch Spicer and Company tonight on Newsmax for the real truth about your vote and how Texas, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and more are in the crosshairs. Everyone is watching Newsmax. It's on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. And you can watch Newsmax on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Plus, download the free Newsmax app on your phone and start watching now. Newsmax is your trusted news source. Every night, watch great shows, starting with Spicer & Company, Greg Kelly, Grant Stinchfield, Cortez & Pellegrino, and a lot more. Go to Newsmax for real news. Watch it today.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dynavite with every meal.
DINOVITE.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Yes, life in the big city. As in, people are, people everywhere. People are talking about, I wonder what a moving van would cost to rent, because there's a lot of that going. It's very chic, you know, it's urban chic. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Steve, calling from Bowie, Maryland. Steve, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thanks, Chris. It's been a long time. The last time I talked to you was like in 2008 when I lost my job and I had a lot of free time. now I have my own business, and rarely do I able to stay on the phone long enough to talk to you. So
well, you're a business owner. Anyway. Now you're responsible and responsible to other people and stuff. Good for you. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm having success, and it's a great feeling. But I wanted to talk about the lawlessness of the Democrats' policies in the city. How, I have a daughter who became liberal, and she's a Black Lives Matter activist, which grieves my heart. But I had a discussion with her about how she lives in Baltimore and how a lot of people are fleeing Democrat-run cities because of crime. And when people aren't safe and when they decriminalize you know, like in California, they decriminalize shoplifting.
Yeah, crime.
And right, and they ban bail. So a guy commits a crime, and then he gets put back on the street. And then because, you know, bail's considered, you know, unjust.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Racist.
And he commits another crime, and, you know, it's perpetual. Just like D.C. decriminalized prostitution and, you know, drugs like marijuana. So they decriminalize all these things, and they embolden crime. They incentivize it more,
yep.
And then they wonder why people don't feel safe.
Yeah. Well, they had to decriminalize prostitution in Washington, D.C. because Congress is here.
That's true.
Otherwise, you'd have to arrest almost every member of Congress, and that'd be difficult. No, look, you're right. In California, they decriminalized shoplifting, anything below $950. So you go in and steal $945 worth of stuff, and you know you're not going to be prosecuted, and you just walk out, as you've probably seen the video in Los Angeles of these two guys walking into the TJ Maxx and walking out laden with $945 worth of stuff. And in St. Louis, I was talking about it yesterday, Steve, they had arrested three murderers. And, you know, one of them, the prosecutor didn't show up because she was on maternity leave. And the prosecutor there, a left-wing George Soros prosecutor, didn't even know that her prosecutor was supposed to be handling a homicide case, was on maternity leave. And like, oh, oops, little paperwork mix-up. Three murderers put back on the street, well, without even going to trial in St. Louis yesterday, because they're decriminalizing crime, because they're a pro-crime party and a pro-criminal party.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Summer takes flight at Turtle Bay's Wings of Summer Butterfly Exhibit, open June 19th through August 15th. Experience hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil and enclosed garden. Access is free for Turtle Bay members and included with park admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m., on KCNR, 1460 AM, or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Signorama presents Bruised by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, August 13th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for this 21 and over event featuring craft beers, live music, tasty food, and more. Get your tickets today at the Turtle Bay Museum or online at turtlebay.org.
I look at this and I go, Jim Acosta, why are you walking toward the problem while people are running away? That's the reporter heart. What are you going to do? Jim Acosta happened to be in the area he was rolling on this video. Police arrived within seconds, he says.
Oh, that's the reporter heart. That's Jim Acosta, reporter to the marrow of his bone. Or to the bone of his marrow. I'm not entirely sure. Could be a different thing than I'm thinking of. Yeah, so Jim Acosta, CNN's Jim Acosta, he was down on 14th Street, as they say, in Washington, and he was minding his own business, having dinner, I guess it was about 8 o'clock, 5 minutes after 8 o'clock, I think, when gunshots rang out once again on 14th Street. And it's a terrible, horrible story, and a man was shot, but you know, they're going to do this all the time. You just have to adapt to your environment, you know. I mentioned it was, when was it? It was a couple of weeks ago. It was June 30th, so I guess about 3 weeks ago. Man killed by stray bullet after leaving 14th Street Northwest restaurant with wife. And this is a horrible, horrible story. Tacoma Park, Maryland, first nuclear-free zone in America. A lot of co-ops, killed by a stray bullet after he left dinner with his wife on busy 14th Street, and two men opened fire, probably white supremacists. Were they white supremacists last night? Because I hear that they're the biggest threat to everything in America. I saw the FBI said that. You know, the FBI that let all the people from Lafayette Park and the White House siege go free, scot-free, as my mother used to say. But they're hunting down everybody that stood near the Capitol on January 6th and threatening to put him in prison for 15 years. You see, the DEA agent, I talked about him yesterday, they're threatening to, who was always on Capitol Hill that day, and he didn't riot. He didn't even go into the Capitol. He didn't even get close to the Capitol. He objected to what he saw. But now the FBI is threatening the DEA agent, a federal law enforcement agent, with 15 years in prison because he was there. He's an Iraq veteran. His brother is an FBI agent. And our FBI is threatening to put him in prison. Our Department of Justice is threatening to put him in prison for 15 years. This is turning into a banana republic, ladies and gentlemen. And yet all the left-wing rioters from coast to coast, Seattle and Portland, federal courthouses, Molotov cocktails, throwing explosives at federal officers, M-80s, homemade bombs, Molotov cocktails. No manhunt for them. No threat of prison for them. They're all fine. Let go without bail. Crazy stuff. So this man, Jeremy Black, was the victim of gunfire. It was a Tuesday night in Washington, D.C. 53-year-old, father of two, worked for the Peace Corps. Started out as a volunteer in college for the Peace Corps, went back to college, and then went to work for the Peace Corps as, you know, as a full-blown adult. 14th Street at R. That's within a block of where last night's shooting was. And I think that he may have been leaving Le Diplomat, the same restaurant. And it was an absolute, it's a horror show. 53-year-old guy, looks like a picture of him here, nice, squeaky, clean guy. And these gangsters, these gang bangers, calling them gangsters gives them too much credit, I think. They're just murderers, and they have no regard for human life. And that's because we have a culture that raises a lot of people to have no regard for human life, see? And that's the left-wing culture. That's not the culture that goes to church on Sunday and raises the kids strictly. No tiger moms, you know, staying up late doing the homework with the kids and, you know, we're going to get you into Princeton. That's not the ethic that the left teaches. That's they're hostile to, well, everything, all mainstream culture and all this. All right, so let's get to Jim Acosta when he's sitting at the restaurant when gunshots ring out. And he, because he has a reporter's heart, he got up and started walking toward the noise slowly, reasonably so, understandably, rolling some video with his iPhone. And so we're about 10 gunshots there, and that's not a good thing. And he, you know, give him a little bit of credit. He started walking toward it. It's what you do if you're in the news business. There are a lot of people running for cover, which is what you do if you're a normal person with a normal brain and all that good stuff. And two men had just been shot. And there were, again, the first volley of shots not captured by this clip of video. Because like a hockey fight, it takes a little while to get your senses together and to come up with the, you know, with your response. What am I going to do? And he did the right thing. And it continued from there. Oh, I see. Then he what's his name? Acosta called into Manderson Pooper's show. And was talking to Manderson.
Yeah, Anderson, I was having dinner at a restaurant that's very popular in D.C., Le Diplomat. People have probably heard of it.
Yeah, Le Diplomat, people have probably, what people exactly have probably heard of it? People that go to dinner on 14th Street in Washington, D.C. have probably heard of it. This is not a local news broadcast. This is a national and or global news broadcast. Le Diplomat is, you know, I just don't think that people have heard of it. I think he's wrong about that. People have probably heard of it.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Really?
People know me.
People know me. People know who Jim Acosta is. He has many fine leather-bound volumes. And Acosta, because he's, you know, he's a trained reporter and he's got a reporter's heart, he's going to the thing. He shared with the audience what he thought the situation might involve.
We believe that there was some kind of shooting that occurred here, from what we understand from talking to D.C. police, about two people have been shot right now.
About, we believe, what with the gunshots and then the D.C. police telling us that two people had been shot. Crack reporter, award-winning national and global journalist Jim Acosta came to the conclusion, not recklessly, dare I say, that there had been a shooting on 14th Street. And Jim said, you know, this is kind of interesting because, again, I mentioned that on Friday, a six-year-old girl had been shot to death while standing on a street corner with her mother. Her mother was shot. Four additional people were shot. Washington, D.C. surpassed 100 homicides weeks ago now, which is way ahead of pace compared to last year and compared to your average years. We have the, you know, average homicide rates in Washington, D.C. and other big cities. And Jim Acosta, and then there was the shooting at the ballpark on Saturday night. Jim Acosta, like, you know, the white guy that he is, he, and Andrea Mitchell, you know, made a big deal. Oh, the ballpark, but they never mentioned the 6-year-old girl. They never mentioned the other 100 plus homicides in Washington, D.C., just the ones that affect the locations where Whitey might want to go.
As you know, Anderson, this comes on the heels of what we saw happen at Nationals Park. The other night, the baseball stadium here in Washington, D.C., where there are gunshots outside of that baseball park. And so, you know, just within a few nights of one another, you have two pretty jaw-dropping, unsettling situations in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital.
Isn't it remarkable that he leaves out the 6-year-old girl, Nayla, that was shot and killed, and her mother, who was shot and wounded, and the four other people in the more than 100 homicides, and we're on pace for at least a contemporary record in homicides and in shootings, and it's part of a crime wave across the country. But Jim Acosta and CNN recognize two things that they think might affect them. Well, this is where my friends go to dinner on 14th Street. We don't live around here. And Jim said, he said, you know, he's lived in the area. He kind of grew up around here, but he doesn't live in D.C., you know. I mean, come on. He's got a Mercedes-Benz, and he needs a garage to park his Mercedes-Benz in. But there are two shootings that matter to Jim Acosta. One is at Nats Park, the baseball stadium, and one is at a place where he goes to dinner. The rest of them, not really very important, which... dare I say, is what's the word I'm looking for, Michael? I think racist is the word that we're looking for. And also he's oblivious, because this is another thing I point out all the time. They don't follow the news. These news people, they don't know what's in the news. They don't follow the news. They don't even know about the Peace Corps guy with the two kids and the wife who was shot to death just days earlier on the same block. Mind you, Jeremy Black from Tacoma Park, on the same block, within a block of where this shooting was, and he's a Caucasian, too, so that's why Jim should probably know about it. Not a thing. So, Jim, you know, he doesn't actually live here.
And I will tell you, as somebody, I grew up in this area, I've worked in this city for a long time, this part of D.C. does not see this kind of crime, this kind of shooting activity. Obviously, in other parts of D.C., you see that this kind of crime, this kind of shooting activity, that's as equally as important as what we're seeing tonight.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's as equally important. He's not good off the cuff either. Yeah, I grew up in this area, not in D.C., but in the area. I've worked in the city for a long time, what with CNN HQ in Washington and the White House being there and stuff. But this part of town, you see, we don't see a lot of stuff like this. Other parts of town, sure, but not this part of town, because this is where, you know, me and my friends go. Not that he has friends, but, you know, people that he knows, probably colleagues or people that Justice Department that leak him stuff to sabotage Republicans because they're all in it together. You know how that goes. It's you know, people are scared, what with all the shootings and stuff, where Whitey might go.
So obviously people were terrified in this area trying to flee these gunshots that rang out in what is usually a very safe area of Washington, D.C. Yes, there are things like this that happen from time to time in this part of D.C.
Sure.
But you just don't see this very often in this area, Anderson.
And that's what concerns me, because I'm here. And, you know, I'm kind of a big deal. I'm on television. People know me. I'm Ron Burgundy. I'm an anchorman. You must bow to my television news greatness. I'm on cable. Oh, I don't get cable. I get cable, but he's really, what about me? How does this affect me? That's the most important thing. The chief of police in Washington, D.C. is a man named Robert Conti. We used a soundbite of him after the, it was after the shooting of the 6-year-old girl and the killing of the 6-year-old girl. And he said these, because they just rolled up a couple of kind of the same pattern again and again. Usually, you know, it's often an SUV. Yesterday was not an SUV. And a couple of gunmen, maybe three gunmen, jump out and open fire, usually on crowds of people and in crowded areas. Because, dare I say, I don't think they were raised very well. That could be a part of the problem. Maybe parenting is an issue. That could be a part of it. And then, of course, what we teach in school is radicalism, and people graduate without being able to write a complete sentence or express a complete thought, because the teachers' unions, run by leftists, the National Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers, run by radicals, they inflict politics on children, but they don't inflict an education on children, and certainly no sense of moral responsibility, and no, civics was written out of it, and we're a terrible country, and you don't stand a chance because of your melanin levels, and terrible, everything is stacked against you in this terrible country, which is why our borders are being flooded by black and brown people and people from the Caribbean and Africa, trying to get into the United States because they don't get CNN. And they weren't educated in D.C. school systems or big city school systems. Chief Conte.
We'll find the individuals, and we'll hold them accountable. And that's what we have to do as an entire city. When it comes to people who are not afraid to use guns in our community, there has to be a measure of accountability there. We have to make sure that these individuals are prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Right now, as you know, we're coming out of this COVID environment. We need to get our court system back open. There are individuals out here on our street who we know are violent felons, and we need to make sure that these individuals are being held accountable for their actions that they commit in our community.
I don't know where he got this. He's probably a racist or something, you know, probably a white supremacist. He's African-American himself? Oh, okay. Well, maybe he's onto something then, because now as a liberal, you have to listen to him. We need to prosecute people for shooting other people? That would spoil the whole thing. We have to have bail and hold them in jail and keep them off the streets. And then we have to prosecute them, bring them to court, and put them in jail when they're out marauding around, making the city unlivable, and shooting people and killing people. Oh, come on. Let's not get carried away. Here is WJLA, the local ABC affiliate here in our nation's capital, Kristen Powers.
This is a car I noticed right when I got here, right by the scene. There's broken glass around it, and you can see that there are two bullet holes, one by the door and then one in the back. The back window was shot out. There's actually a note from a police officer on the windshield that says your car has been shot in a shooting.
Your car has been shot in a shooting. But the police, see, terrible as the Democrats say the police are, they left a note. It's like, it was like it was a fender bender when your car was parked or something. And, honestly, this is life in D.C. in 2021. Thanks to Mayor Muriel Bowser, the left-wing Democrats running the city council, defunding the police, emboldening criminals, as Democrats are actively doing from coast to coast in the United States of America. But at least the police left a note. You know, you walk up to your car, expletive deleted. Did I get a ticket? No, you didn't get a ticket. You know, your car was in the middle of a rolling gunfight on 14th Street while you're going to chic restaurants because, you know, it's not easy being hip.
You have 30 minutes to move your car. You have 10 minutes. Your car has been impounded. Your car has been crushed into a cube. You have 30 minutes to move your cube.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, everybody. Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. In fact, over 1 million homeowners took advantage of refinancing or buying a new home with Rocket Mortgage. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase again, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. With an official mortgage review from Rocket Mortgage, you'll see just how much money you could save by making a move right now. Don't look back over these next few weeks and wish that you had taken action. You could save hundreds on your mortgage payments or pay off your home loan earlier than planned. You could even take cash out of your home to pay off high interest debt, complete home repairs, or bulk up on an emergency fund. When you want to secure a low rate, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com. Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
How can I make sure my office never stops working?
With Staples Connect, it's possible.
I need to keep my back office stocked without messing up my bottom line.
Also possible, because Staples Connect has your small business covered with big savings on everything you need to get work done. This week, earn 30% back and a Staples store bonus when you buy any two ink cartridges, including HP. Explore what's new at your local Staples or staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Limit 4, in-store only. Visit staplesconnect.com/store bonus for details. N724.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Oh, and in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Woo! Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. And do more with modern devices in Windows 10 Pro.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
She's a purebred orange and white Brittany, but when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out.
DinoVite.com.
So we added a huge scoop of Dinovite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dinovite is nutrition.
You get some Dinovite. How happy your dog will be.
A Dinovite. She's Little Miss Hollywood.
DinoVite.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
I was having dinner at a restaurant that's very popular in D.C., The Diplomat. People have probably heard of it.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I've lived in D.C. for a while now, and 14th Street is an area that has been gentrified. It was an area that was burned in 1968, what with all the riots and everything. And it took decades and decades, darn near half a century, for the neighborhood to come back. No kidding. And 1968, Martin Luther King assassination, the left was in the way of rioting over everything. And They burned a big part of the city over there, the left did. And it just, it's still coming back. And I've been talking about this, how the city government is, and the Democrats are against, but I repeat myself, against gentrification, because they don't want anything to be nicer. That causes problems. Real estate values go up, tax base goes up, everything gets better. They're against that. All right. And now it's going through a period of de-gentrification. It's kind of what we see happening here. When I first moved here, it was all drug dealers and prostitutes. How would you know that, Chris? Well, I actually lived over on 16th Street, and then I lived just off of 18th Street. But setting that aside. Also, you know, the mayor of Portland, who's a left-wing lunatic, and I think he might be a little fluid, Ted Wheeler. This weekend is their big welcome back fest after a year of riots. And he's telling people there, let's all just roller skate because they have the brains of children. Because when you elect people with the brains of children, they govern as children govern. And they think they've got good ideas, but they're not good ideas. And any adult in the room is available to point this out to them, but they don't listen. After more than a year of pandemic, protests and riots, rising violence and homelessness, Portland, Oregon Mayor Ted Wheeler wants to welcome people back to his city's struggling town. Now, he's being mocked and ridiculed for this, because it's such an absurd joke. They destroy the place, and then they tell you, hey, welcome back, Cotter. Also, political correctness running rampant. The Cleveland Indians have announced that they're changing their name. They will no longer be known as the Cleveland Indians, because they're going to be called the Cleveland Guardians. They're Cleveland Guardians. And I don't know. I think their symbol is now like a Chinese prison guard or something like that. Now they're the Cleveland Guardians. What are they guarding? Well, they're guarding the word burners. They're guarding political correctness. They're guarding us against it's Indian. The word Indian is not a slur, just by the way. And they got Chief Wahoo and stuff. They got. And Indian is the symbol. But before the left is done, there will be no reference to anything Native American, because they will have wiped it all out.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.